Blog Talk Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Peace, what's up, y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Salve Coagula. Salve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Bible prophecy fulfilled.
Snakes in the grass.
In center position. We got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb blast.
I gotcha.
I got you right where I want you. Like a ball line in the field, I stalked you. Creeped up on you, peeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on you. Once I get you, you'll be a goal.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, just all part of the game.
Ain't the scene with solo, now it's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow the world with Satan.
And the new norms, the new world order.
Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.webs.com. That's official, ninjascroll.webs.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you up.
Hello to all you nincompoops and something that cares out there. I am the Wireitap. I am here to represent Weizsäcker Suicide Pods. Let's cut to the chase. The globalists have decided it is time to kill off all you 99% who breathe our air and use all of our food resources. You have not died fast enough by eating GMO foods or by killing each other from race riots we have started. We have tried to remove all the pieces of excrement by cooking up COVID in a Wuhan laboratory, but you're not dying fast enough. So we now have Lysenko suicide pods. You can now rush out and die in our suicide pods. Schedule your appointment today. You can choose between a blue, brown, gray or pink casket. Remember, you need to wear at least 5 masks minimum, and you will take a COVID test before and after you get in the pod. You must also make sure your ashes remain a safe 6 feet social distance when you are about to exit. If you like your experience, put it on Melbourne CompuTube. We will give you 15% off your next session. We hope to see all you useless eaters get in these pods right away before we put everyone in FEMA camps. That you do not exist. Schedule your appointment today for your Lysenko suicide pod. Thank you.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire River. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Tuesday. Well, technically we don't have a guest today, but we do have two people that are auditioning for the Tuesday night co-host spot here. So we're going to bring on a couple of ladies here that hopefully they both do well, and I get to make some tough decisions here. So the one thing here is that to bring you on, you have to press lucky number one on your phone, because I don't know if you're cursing out a telemarketer, I don't know if you're chasing a pet ferret, or you're busy in the bathroom. I don't want to scare you, so I make you press the one button first here. So, all right, looks good. So I'll bring on both of our recruits here, and we'll see what happens. So I have Nicole and I have Bridget. So both of you, welcome in.
Hello, thank you.
So yeah, you always want clapping. You want the good.
What a greeting! Thank you.
Yes, you don't want Nelson.
No.
Bridget, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want the Nelson.
No, we definitely don't want that.
Ha ha.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, no.
All right, so. Welcome to the show here. I know Bridget auditioned a few years back, and she's ready to try again here. Nicole, this is your first time being on the Proof Negative show. I guess we could start with Nicole here, just an overview about what interests you in this and what type of news you read and some of your things that you care about.
Well, I have to tell you first, Dave, that I started out back just as this scamdemic started. And, you know, I thought, okay, maybe this is just a little bit, you know, maybe there's something to this. Maybe there isn't. This just seems a little overreactive to me. And I'm not one to go to the extreme on anything, and I just saw people just really overreacting. And then I happened to notice on Facebook that there was a actual thing where it said the hospitals are all closed and everything's closed, and I saw that actually there was an empty hospital, completely empty hospital that they said was full of people, and this woman took a video of that. So that became my passion for 2 years, just kind of realizing, hey, these things are actually not quite what they seem. And I got involved in Reopen San Diego, where I live, and I just really began to enjoy, in a way, getting to know people that were on our side, you know, and some of them that kind of go off, but I just enjoy people that are on our side that really get it. And I think more and more people are waking up to that, but my passion is to wake them up and kind of open their eyes to the truth. And I'm seeing more and more of that, especially as we're seeing what's happening here with the vaccine.
So, Bridget, I'll throw it over to you, I guess, the same question. So what type of stuff do you follow? How did you get started in the truth movement and all that stuff?
I got to be honest, I don't really follow news that much, you know, or anything like that. But it started becoming a passion of mine, or, you know, to a degree, you know, when the pandemic all hit, for the simple fact, you know, I just didn't like the fact that things are being taken away from us. So that became really frustrating. So, and that was kind of where, and then I started had to read up on it. I didn't like the fact that people made such a big, a big deal of the COVID, people being censored, and everybody was just getting, shut down. Like, we just started losing our voice. Speech was just kind of like being dismissed. So it got really frustrating. So that got really frustrating.
Right. And I think that's how we ended up talking originally, Bridget.
Just kind of trying to have that voice to let people know that something was going on, and and everything just kind of trickled down from there, with the presidential, the vaccines, the masks, and every day, there's more stuff that becomes to light because certain parties or whomever who's out there, they're not really hiding much of nothing anymore. It's just the fact that people are still not, they're not woke to what's really going on around us. And everybody's being affected.
Though,
and still,
to both of you, that it's just crazy
I'm going to come right back. I just got to, like I mentioned right before I came on, I have to take a quick call. So I will be back in just 1 second. Okay.
So, Nicole, I'll work with you here then. So I just find it funny. It doesn't matter what store it is. A store can just put a box of scams out front and not say a word, and the average fool will just put one on because they think they have
yes,
to.
Yes, and you know what else? I noticed that, back then people would just say, oh, it's the law. They didn't know any better. They didn't know any better, and they didn't care. They just went by these little mandates, and they'll say, it's the law. And they just count on good on little sheep to put the mask on and do what they're told. And they don't count on people like us. I noticed a lot of people really didn't know what to do with people like us when we come into the store or something. It was like, huh? What do you mean it's not the law? Oh, yes, it is. You could get sick. You could die. You could just tell that most people just complied, and they didn't really have problems too much until I walked in or, my partner walked in, and we would just be there going, no, I don't think so. We're not going to do this. And, he was one of those people that would put the cash down and run, and... But most people just have their little scams on their faces and just walk around like little sheep. You just could tell them a mile a minute. My partner stopped to help someone with their car. I mean, she was stranded in the middle of the road. And the first thing she says is, where's your mask? I'm a nurse. Do you want this car fixed or not?
Now, what'd she say? No?
No, she... He didn't actually say that, but he was irritated, and she knew it. He just said, I don't wear the mask, so, it's either this or not. And she, she let him fix the car, and it was holding me up. I was going somewhere, and this was holding everybody up. So we stopped to help her, and that's what she said. And these nurses, I'm a nurse. In other words, you better kowtow and, put on that mask, because I'm the medical profession. You better listen to the science.
So one thing you'll learn about me is every so often I'll butt in rudely, I guess. But I just find it funny that the doctors won't say much to you, but the nurses act like they have the keys to health because they're a nurse. And nobody else is a nurse.
Yes. And let me tell you, so I actually went to KCI Institute a couple of years ago and had some experimental eye surgery, and they treated me with the utmost respect. I mean, I have to say that for them. They treated me with the utmost respect. They were very kind, and the study coordinator was great, and, after the surgery was when all this junk started coming down. And one visit, it was the last visit I had there, And everybody was, including the study coordinator. Would you put your mask over your nose, please? Will you put your mask over your nose, please? And finally, this one lady, when she wanted to take pictures of my eyes, and she wanted me in the picture tray. You know how suffocating that can be. And she wanted me to put a mask on. And I said, no, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. And after I left there, I emailed the study coordinator, and I said, I will not be back for this study unless you can accommodate me, because I will not be wearing this mask. This is abusive, and I did use the word abusive, I believe. And I said, I will not be suffocating myself all day long doing this, you know. And not just – she didn't just read it. This was a big, long letter. They have a sponsor doing this study, and the entire – sponsor, there was an entire team who read this. And yes, you're so right. The doctors really didn't say much, but it was always the study coordinator and the nurses. Mm-hmm. They literally were like Nazis.
Yeah.
So, Bridget, you had similar experiences?
Oh, gosh. The mask thing was torture.
Well, I never wore I don't know what it felt like.
From beginning to end, some pockets of our city, depending where you are, you know, it was a lot more difficult, you know, like obviously in, you know, more in the city, inner cities, you know, more on the outskirts, it wasn't as bad, but literally there was some places, stores you couldn't go into. I mean, still today, I mean, it's still like that. I mean, obviously doctor appointments, not all of them, but some, I mean, it's, you know, which I find really, really crazy. I want to tell you about an experience with a job that I was hired about the whole mask thing. But before I say that, the thing that that gets me, which I approach these people all the time when I you know, I have a lot of health issues, so I do go periodically a lot to the doctors. But it bogs me that they want you to wear a mask for whatever reason that is. I don't know, diseases, germs, whatever. Whatever
compliance.
They have, have made you believe that, oh, my God, if you have something, this mask is going to prevent us all from becoming ill, which is, you know, obviously a bunch of BS. But the minute you approach the off, you know, the minute you come in, hey, you know, what's your name, blah, 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 they hand you the mask. Like, they're giving you the mask. You know, so regardless, even though I take it, normally I take the mask. I have to go sit in a waiting room because they still won't wear it. You know, I don't care if there's – obviously, even if there's one person in a waiting room, they will literally call you out like, hello, wear that mask. I'm like, there's nobody here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But they hand you the mask. So I tell them, I'm like – and they look at you crazy. I'm like, I'm not taking that mask. You just gave it to me. I don't know where your hands are. And then they'll take the sanitizer and they'll like wipe their hands and then like here. I'm like, no, I don't even want the first three masks, regardless of me not wearing it. But it beats the point. I'm like, why are you handing me something with your hand if the whole point of it is germs? You know, you follow? It's like,
yeah.
How dumb is that? You know what I mean? I mean, that goes back to the absurdity, you know, back in the beginning, I remember when you go to the bank and, you know, punching numbers, you know, but then they make you go inside if you had to sign a document and you're touching 5, 10, 20 million pieces of paper. It's like, oh, you wouldn't let me touch a pen or the keyboard, you know, but you want me to touch a whole bunch of papers and now we're talking face-to-face. Like, it's just, you know, none of it ever comes face-to-face. So it's like people who, you know, really bought into it, it's like, do you ever not get the concept or that a lot of it just has no meaning to anything? It's just ridiculous. And here we are, 2023, and people are still wearing masks. You know, it's just, I find it crazy. But I had an employer during that I went as a part-time during the summer. I got hired. They said masks were mandatory. This was in a very liberal town or whatever that I went to work out or went to work. And I was the only one who never wore a mask. There might have been one person that might have, another employee, but out of the, I don't know, 20 employees for sure that were there on a daily and who knows how many outside of, you know, your shift, everyone wore a mask. Everyone. And it was mandatory. It was crazy. So, and then eventually fall came, and I was like, ooh, I can't wait to see what happens when, you know, the flu season comes in. Oh, excuse me, we don't have the flu anymore. It's COVID. Mm. So when COVID season hit, so a couple people started becoming ill, obviously, you know, change of, you know, temperature. That's what people, that's what's been happening for who knows how long. You know, temperature drops, you get sick. It's, you know, it's a fact. Well, we had to wear masks as employees. I tried it for like a day or like, you know, like 2 hours, but it's again, it's suffocating. I couldn't do it. I told the employer, I'm like, sorry, I can't, I'm not gonna do this. They said if I didn't wear a mask, I couldn't work. So I said, well, guess what? How long? Oh, and the only reason we had to wear masks was because the employees were sick. It wasn't a community COVID spread or anything like that. It was just because a couple people, you know, at work, three people, and, you know, within that two-week span, they were getting sick, so they threw the mask thing back on it. So I told them, I said, well, I'm not going to wear the mask, so I'm going to just not work for 2 weeks. Don't put me on the schedule. I'll come back when it's, like, over. You know, I haven't really heard from them because it's no longer mandatory. It's like you must wear it to be an employee now. Like, that's not how I got hired, and you can't get around it whether you have a medical excuse. So it's like it's still happening. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't see any of that here.
Yeah, it's a whole different world. Like, and it's literally from like downtown Milwaukee. It's like literally 5 minutes. So it's not like, you literally think you've gone to another world. And it happens like in all the little boutiques, restaurants. Anything that you go in that little town, particularly, yeah, they're masked up.
These people,
I mean,
act
get
like
out of
they're
car,
much better than you because they wear scams, so they're better than you.
Because
yeah,
we care about your health. Yeah.
Yeah, everything. I mean, we're talking bars and just everything. I mean, I think this was last February.
Yeah, dental offices,
year, so
I can't believe how strict they are while getting your teeth fixed.
Which you're looking in your mouth anyway. What is the point? If I have COVID, you're looking into my mouth anyway. So what is the point of this? Yeah.
Oh, and you mean at the dental clinic?
At the dentist. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And see, at this point, I don't work. I do some volunteer work. But the thing is, I tell people point blank, anything I do, volunteer work, because here in San Diego, they actually get away with this too. There are places still that require people to get vaccinated and boosted, and they have to wear a mask, which if your vaccine is such a wonderful thing, why do you need a mask on top of that? And people who get vaccinated also get COVID 2 and 3 times. And so I just tell people that I'm going to work with, I don't comply. Just understand that so we don't have any hard feelings. I won't wear a mask for you, and I won't get any vaccines. So if you can work with that, that's wonderful. If you don't, see you later. No hard feelings. Goodbye.
But, you know, that's like very, very early in the beginning, you know, when they play those games, I always have to laugh. You know, like, ooh, you know, take a vaccine and, you know, bye-bye mask. And then, like, literally, you know, with – I don't even –
Yeah, 2 weeks later,
all
they tell
sudden,
you got to wear scams.
Yeah, thanks for taking the vaccine, but we also want you to wear a mask. We want you to wear it inside. We want you to wear it in your home. Like, what? Like, no.
A friend of mine got scammed like that. He went and got a vaccine and the booster because he thought, okay, then they won't make us wear masks at work, and they made him anyway. And he wasn't going to take the vaccine.
Yeah, it happens in
so
colleges,
there's definitely sinister stuff going on. And I think people like to cling to this lifestyle. You know, they love this whole, I think even in the beginning, we're all in this together. We're a community. We're a society. And we're, see how close we're all getting? And yet, we're more divided now than ever. I have lost friends because of my stance. I know other people who have lost friends. And friends that normally we've been able to keep our political differences and still stay friends and agree like adults to disagree, but this was kind of it. That was the breaking point. It was the dividing line, and it's just a shame.
It did, sadly, unfortunately, it did separate people, you know. You know, but I think a lot of it was, too, depending on who it was, because a lot – like you said, a lot of people just kind of go with it, and either they're embarrassed to speak up about it. It shows a lot of people's character. The ones that who finally say, "No, I'm not wearing it. I don't really care if you know the you got to wear this for your grandmother. No, I'm just not wearing it. Period. I'm not going to. Period. You know, my mother is 80 some years old. I told her from the beginning, I'm walking into your house, but trust me, I'm not wearing a mask. You know, it's just not going to happen. Sorry, Mom, not going to happen. You know.
Thankfully, and, my parents weren't that bad.
And she, you know, she was split. It's like, oh, well, I don't know, should I wear them? I'm like, but it's also again, it's education, and I don't like try to criticize anybody if they want to wear a mask, but like, how long have you been wearing your mask? Like, people don't change this routinely. Like,
here's
every
where
day,
I draw the line.
You know what I mean? Then it becomes disgusting.
So, Bridget, I told Nicole while you were out, sometimes I interrupt rudely. So, sorry in advance. But it's just funny that if you want to wear your scam and you keep it over your nose and you love that thing and you're married to it like Linus's blanket, I get it. Go do your thing. Go be a liberal. But what gets me is when people put the mask, they put it on, but they put it on under their chin and they leave it there all day.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point?
Yep.
Either own it, own the fact that you're a liberal, or don't wear it. Don't just put it over your chin like a dumbass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, is when they wear it all alone in their car.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've asked people about that sometimes, and they literally, some people just say they forgot. They forgot that they have it on. How do you forget you have that on? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's a pretty invasive thing.
I come in a house. I know I have a glove. You know, I live in Wisconsin. It's cold. I know I have a freaking hat on and gloves. Like, that's not something I just, oh, look at. You know what? Like, I don't fathom that. I haven't grasped that idea yet. I get it. But that's just how programmed you have been, that it's just so, it's become so part of your body that you have it attached to your skin that you don't even know. But that's what most people have told me. I'm like, they're just like, no, I forgot I have it on, you know.
That's creepy, too.
And people politely have to ask, you know, is it okay if I take my mask off? I'm like, yeah. Not even sure why you even had it on. You know, but this is a conversation, like, it's almost probably on a daily. I don't drive, so I get like I mentioned previously, I have a lot of health issues, so I go to doctors a lot. And I get transported sometimes by, drivers, just drivers that I just don't know, for my medical transportation. And they still today, the main thing I think they express, they're pissed that they have to take the vaccine to work. That's upsetting to them. They refuse to take another booster if their jobs require them, but they were forced to do this or they wouldn't have a job. And a lot of them so regret it today. I mean, last year, you know, a lot of them were like, yes, I have to do the vaccine. Oh my God, I have clients, you know, I don't, thinking still that the vaccine was going to protect them in some shape, way or form. And then today, you know, let's say I would meet that person. I'm like, yeah, how's that vaccine going? They're like, ugh. Why did I do it?
And all these people just mysteriously dying of heart attacks and strokes.
Well,
senior pastor, he was 83 years old. And, I mean, for 83, you know, of course they're going to say, oh, he's old, he's going to die of something. But he was very healthy. and he took the vaccine so he could go to his ministry in Mexico. They have orphanages over there, and he passed away. Just one minute, he was fine. He was at the church picnic. He was doing great. The next morning, he came home that night, had a stroke. The next morning, he was gone. There was no reason
and
for
that's,
that.
You know, and when you talk about, you know, then we talk about then there's not necessarily like the race, but, you know, like I said, I talk to a lot of people. Like some of my drivers, they're from Africa, and then I have some Indian, you know, folks or whatever, just different cultures and whatnot. But again, coming from inner city people, black individuals, or black Americans, whatever it is culturally right to say these days. But
whatever
anyways,
the political folks, correct term is.
Yeah, right. But anyways, black folks would get upset, and they're like, no, we've got to do this, you know, because our people are dying, you know. And I'm like, I don't follow, because I can talk to my African friends. They're black. How can you not deny they're black? And trust me, they're not like... Their schmeal on health and all that other stuff
there seems to be a very sinister plan going on here of, like, especially, oh, you're a senior citizen, oh, you're blind or disabled, you've got to take this because you're more at risk because you're, you know, putting other people at risk when you're around them and this and that, so you've got to take these boosters. It's almost like, hey, we'll just bump off these senior citizens and disabled and anyone that we might have to help a little more financially with the government, we'll just bump them off, and that'll be the end, and it will look like we're actually trying to save their life in the process.
Well, and what I've learned since last year, well, I've changed my diet since last year. I started trying to eat as clean as possible, and I started it mainly because I was having arthritis, so I won't get into all that. But when I hear it, like, a black person, like, oh, my God, my people are, like, dying, I'm like, no, it's because y'all eat, like, shit. Like, have you ever thought, like, what you eat? And, again, it goes back to the crazy thing again. When I look at my, you know, mainly in, the north side, that's where more black people are that live, that, like, their neighborhoods. Like, they don't even have a grocery store, like, near them. It's all convenience store. Convenience store, gas station, convenience store. You know, as if somebody down the line couldn't say, we should probably build a grocery store in this neighborhood. Like, it just doesn't happen. But the diet, like, a black person's diet is horrible. And I'm going to talk again, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. Trust me. We eat just as much fried foods and everything else. The only difference between black people is like seasoning salt and their salt context. That's why they have high blood pressure and everything else. So it isn't because they're black. They're just like, because we're black, this is why we have such health issues. This is why we have diabetes, and this is why we have high blood pressure. And it's like a diet, you know. I mean,
it's always because we're black. Because we're black.
Yeah, it's always like, yeah, we've got this, you know, bad card because these are our genes, and this is, you know, what we've been cursed with, in a sense. You know, like, this is just how we are. Like, we are, in fact, all going to have diabetes. You know, I'm like, no, not really. And I'm a testament to say, hey, yeah, I ate like garbage. I've lost 75 pounds. Trust me, I'm not busting
good
my ass
for
at
you.
The gym at all. It was diet, changing my diet. And that's all. I mean, obviously, yes, of course, I work out. I had to tone, you know, and I just had my hip replaced, so I'm kind of like, oh my God, you know, I'm losing my muscle, but I expect to get back to it. But it's a huge difference, you know. Poof, now you have a pretty healthy diet, right? You're eating health wise.
Bridget, is that you?
Yeah. You have a particular diet, right? I mean, do you eat pretty clean? I mean, you're not like, you know, when your diet, is your diet pretty healthy?
No comment.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I did learn like a huge difference, you know, like the arthritis, the pain, you know, all that other kind of stuff, you know, and I try to learn more and more every day with, you know, like teas and stuff. So I'm not there. I mean, I'm only a year in. So but diet plays a big factor. You know, what goes again, you know, when this all started, you know, obviously people were posting, you know, everything that had to be natural, you know, take your lemons, you know, take your vitamin C, you know, boost your immune. And then you have people that are shutting you down on YouTube as, that's not fact. You can't do that.
I'm all about moderation. I love anything that can be cured naturally. I think there's a place for doctors. There certainly is. Last year I had appendicitis, had to be rushed to the hospital. They took good care of me. There's a place for doctors. There's a place for antibiotics. But I think that this COVID thing has been blown way out of proportion. And I get that, you know, it has killed people, but I think more than anything, they have gone and gotten on the ventilator. And when you don't need oxygen and you don't need to be on a ventilator, you're going to die. And you get treatments you don't need, you can die. And if I were in that bad of a condition, I'd just assume die at home. That way there I know whether it was the doctor or not. But they make me nervous nowadays. I will say that. I've always been marginally suspicious of them. I know there's a place for them, but I will always opt for the I don't have a natural diet, you know, vegan and all that. But I try to eat in moderation. I think moderation is the key, but I'm always marginally suspicious of the medical profession. And I think they've been doing this stuff to us for years. I think even with mental illness, you know, they're forcing medications on people they really don't need. What they need, half the people that I work with some of the ministry I do, is they've been traumatized. They have trauma, and their behavior is a response to the trauma. And rather than deal with the behavior and the trauma, they want to put you on meds because they really don't know what to do with you. And plus, they get a nice kickback from Big Pharma. So this has subtly been going on and on since the 80s and just getting worse as I've seen it.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I had a new doctor that I switched like 2 years ago, but he, you know, we kind of duked it out recently because he wasn't obviously we weren't obviously meeting eye to eye. You know, he's a vaccine for sure, constantly asking me every time I come in. You know, like I said, I mean, you know, and I was like, did you not have a note there? Like, do you not remember me? I already told you, like, what? And then
I guess this year they'll try again if at first you don't succeed. My doctor did the same thing.
Can we get you to take this again and the flu shot? I'm like, no, stop asking me. This is really getting annoying. Stop asking
me. I had an argument like that with my doctor a couple of years ago, and she said, well, you know, it was about the flu shot. This was before COVID. She said, well, I just have to do my due diligence and tell you that over 160 people that I see here in the hospital, they die of the flu each season. And I'm going, okay, well, you know, I'll be glad to take my chances. And she goes, well, you could get a little sick if you take it. And I'm just like, you know, I go to the doctor just to kind of keep healthy, not to go get a little sick. And I generally don't get the flu. I generally, you know, if I get sick, I get sick, and then I get over it. I don't need, I had my ex-husband, he used to yearly get the flu shot, and he'd get it on a Friday and be sick all weekend. Like, are you just going to get your sickness over for the year? Because I just don't get sick that often, and why would I inject sickness? That never made sense to me.
Yeah, that's really funny. I just turned 52 last week, Thursday. So I was dating a younger fellow last summer, and oh God, still not sure why we dated because we have complete opposites of like everything, politics, this and that.
Oh dear,
that
never worked.
Yeah, but we hit it off. But anyways, just as long as we didn't talk about 5 million other topics. But anyways, I ended up being sick, and my symptoms, you know, like one day I had diarrhea, the next day I had fever, and, you know, God forbid, you know, because he had the vaccine. He's like, oh, my God, babe, you need to go into the hospital. Like, there's treatment. I'm like, dude, there is no such thing as anything. I'm sick. I got to just let nature take this course. You know, it's not like I was
yeah.
dying, but he made it seem as if I was dying, obviously. And this was day two. So to enlighten him, I'm like, sure, okay, I'll go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Okay, we went. And they tested me. They're like, oh, you know, I had that thing that they said. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Huh, never, okay, whatever. All right, I got diarrhea and, you know, a fever, and I think, when I went in. Started getting cough, but whatever. So anyway, so he runs down my health issues. Like, you know, you're very high at risk. We have pills for this. I'm like, oh, I'll be damned. I'm like, where in the hell is my phone? Like, why didn't I take this? You know, I'm like, I need to see what he's trying to tell me. So he pushed me, and I don't remember the name of the medication. I know he said it was something like a Thermoflu, but it's in hand to take away COVID. So you take 5 pills. I believe, like, you can only take it, like, your first 5 days, I believe, of diagnosis. So it's 5 pills, like, in the morning, and then another 5 at night. What I find crazy, obviously, I didn't take it. I mean, like, I'm reading all the side effects, because obviously they don't tell you this. I'm reading the side effects. And it's like, oh, your COVID symptoms will become worse. You will get diarrhea. And your COVID will prolong your something symptoms or something to that effect. I'm like, oh, my God, this is really sad. Had I taken this, now I really doubt that I had gotten better, because I was better the next day and I didn't take anything. But the amount of people who probably doctors push this medication, who are at high risk, elderly and everybody else, who take this now become even 10 times ill. They're thinking it's COVID or whatever the case may be, and they're probably thinking they're, like, terminally ill at this point, because, you know, nobody likes to be sick. It's you know, it's horrible. But these people take this, again, guaranteeing that they're going to take this pill, not knowing all the horrendous side effects you're going to get.
When really there are pills out there like ivermectin that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants. I had a friend who had COVID. Somehow she managed to get a hold of ivermectin, and we're not supposed to say that word, I guess. And she took it, and within a day she was better. But they don't want you on those kinds of medications. Why?
No, I have a friend that takes ivermectin or something. I guess it's for horses or something. She swears by it. She takes it like on a daily, a very small dose, not like you know would give to, you know, like a horse, obviously, but. She takes it. She now has said that it has, like, reversed on her aging. She's like, I used to have white hairs. My hair is, you know, becoming black again, which I have heard that there's things that you can do to reverse aging. Like, it's, you know, just because you have a white hair. I mean, probably not an entire full set of white hair, and then, you know, tomorrow you're going to have black hair. But, you know, if you start, you know, doing some stuff, you can you can change your reverse of aging.
Mm-hmm.
There's a man that I just listened to him the other day, because I usually don't follow, like, podcasts or too much anymore, but I'm recovering from hip surgery. So I've got a lot of time on my hands right now. So, but he's in the research right now, trying to develop some kind of magic pill that will do the reverse aging. So it's very interesting to see what that's all about, you know. But will it ever come to, you know, will it ever get approved? That's to say. And how long would that be? You know, 20, 30 years? You know, will he be around? You know, will he be able to pass that research on to others? You know, I mean, he did say there's certain things they've done, obviously, when they do, like, the mice, mice that were blind and they could see again without, like, any transplant. So I found that fascinating. I can't remember the guy's name. I'd have to, like, go on my things to see who it was. But, yeah, he's like a top scientist in all this research that he's doing, so it's, like, really fascinating to hear that. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, back to diet again, you know. I mean, we, you know, like, that's just like, the, you know, these kids who eat Doritos and Takis every day, you know. I mean, that's their prime source of food, you know. I mean, are they going to be all diabetic probably in the next 5-10 years? Because that's all they consume, you know.
Who knows? But, you know, that's another thing.
Sodas.
Doctors really... just, you know, then they won't really encourage you to do the natural medicine first. That is very frowned upon. Where I'm the opposite. I will try the natural medicine. I will try the herbs or the vitamins. And then, if all else fails, I will try the doctor. But yeah. I don't do vegan, I don't do clean, but I just try to eat kind of moderately, and I don't think that these medicines, I don't think they're necessarily truthful even about the side effects.
Well,
like Zoloft.
The fact where
there was a young man who killed himself after 7 days of Zoloft. The kid was 12. Robin Williams was on antidepressants. And they're not going to come out and admit this. They're just not. And I believe that bipolar and all these so-called mental illnesses out today, a lot of it is due to the chemicals that they have put in their body from the meds, not because they actually originally had a chemical problem. So, you know, these things, like I said, they've been subtly going on for many, many, many years. And so I think what they're trying to do now is just make this the norm, you know, that the doctors and the CDC run your life, not you.
Well, and I think that goes back to, I mean, I don't know how old you are. You know, but like I said, I'm 50. I mean, I got to think back when I was 10, you know, there was a McDonald's, you know, here and there, you know, I mean, again, depending where, pockets of where you live in the, you know, where you live, and I can go in the suburbs and trust me, I don't see a McDonald's or a Wendy and die miles away from each, you know, it's crazy that you only see that in certain parts of the, you know, where you live. But, you know, I got to believe it's diet. I think diet is killing us. And the crazy thing that this is all considered, you know, it's FDA approved or, you know, I mean, everybody's in hand. You know, the pharmaceuticals
well,
and the
not
FDA,
only that,
and I don't know how factual that is.
They're putting extra hormones in our food. They're putting extra, all the junk that we did not get when we were little. You know, the chickens are being raised with hormones. And now, by the way, they are they're talking about, and this is through the medical journal as well as University of California. It's a big medical university that is actually promoting adding vaccines to our vegetables as they're growing.
Oh,
they are being planted.
How exciting.
With vaccines. So now we get that junk on top of everything else that we're being fed. So our diet, I think, too, you know, our so-called metabolisms, I think, you know, it is the hormone. There's something to it with all the hormones that they're adding to our food that we did not have as children. Like I said, I actually am a year older than you.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm 53.
And I've heard that, too, with the antibiotics. There's so many antibiotics, you know, and obviously the labeling is all, it's just a bunch of bullshit because, you know, I think there's regulations, obviously, certain things they can't put in certain foods. But, you know, people, if they just, you know, just read a, you know, like a chicken, ooh, it has no antibiotics, ooh, it has no hormones, ooh, yeah, that's the chicken we should buy. But, you know, it's become such a bigger thing the more you scope yourself into it, you know, because it's like, you know, how are they humanely raised, you know, this whole thing that then goes back to, like, when we talk about AIDS, you know. It's a whole education. Like, I don't know how many people can keep up. I mean, obviously, I read it because, like I said, I've been eating very clean and all that kind of stuff. But it's confusing. Like, do you do organic? Do you do pasture-raised? Do you do the combination of two? You know, at the end of the day, can you trust whatever's in your grocery store? You know, because if I can have two sides of lemon, side to side, one's organic, one isn't. How do I really know? I can't smell which one it is. They look identical.
Yeah.
What? Because there's a label on it that tells me. Ooh,
it's
with the
more
nine.
Reason to
it's
pray
organic.
Over your food.
So you know, like you know, let's say my you know I have my young you know 15-year-old that's working you know back in produce. He's like, I don't really get you know I don't give a rat's ass which lemon it is. You know, yummy, I'm eating organic. Nah, it's fake. You don't know. I mean, unless you're going straight up, pulling up by the farmer, or the farmer's maybe delivering it to you, you can now, you know, but now I don't even know if what I'm eating is organic. Is it really organic? I don't even know anymore.
You know, and speaking of food, have you noticed that the chicken, it's gotten better, but during that scam season, chicken tasted a little different. certain foods just tasted a little different.
You know, I saw an article or a TikTok or something from someone who posted that she raised, you know, she raised hens. She fed her chickens, and I don't really know the whole eggs, you know, what happened with the chickens and what kind of flu or bird flu or whatever that they had or why the eggs is so crazy. But what she had said, and I don't know if this is fact or not, so if you guys know, let me know. So she had said, obviously she had her chickens, and she's like, wow, this is crazy. In my 10, 12 years, my chickens aren't laying eggs. I don't know what the heck is going on. She was baffled. Like, what the heck is going on? So she couldn't for, I believe she said 2 to 3 months, her chickens weren't laying eggs. So she's like, what's going on? So she changed her feed to, I believe, lamb feed or something. I don't remember whatever it was. But obviously it wasn't her grain, regular stuff that she was feeding her chickens. And she's like, overnight, literally, the chickens started laying eggs.
Wow.
She was just like, what? Yeah. Well, okay, maybe not overnight. But, you know, within a couple of days, you know, chickens are eating this new feed. It wasn't whatever was out there. And boom, all of a sudden, this is happening. So I did talk to my friend about this. She gets really into all this, you know, we're being poisoned on a daily. But she's now, her theory on this is that because our eggs are healthy, and this is kind of alarming, I think, because what if they did screw up the grain? What if that is what they have been doing or damaging our chickens, and that's why they weren't laying eggs, and I mean, and that's why our price isn't eggs. So what's next? Cow, cattle, everything else? Ooh, we can't produce.
Yes, that's why they're saying the food
anymore.
They're creating crises. They're creating crises.
Exactly.
And honestly,
crises,
I do think we're getting prepared
the
for the mark.
And they have the power to do all this because we rely on this on a daily, you know, unless you've got your garden or a cow or a chicken in your backyard. But
not to mention,
lady who had her own chicken, she wasn't growing eggs. So then, what do? You have to.
Not to mention that ignore. Most of us ignore it. And I've always been interested in cults. I've always been fascinated with why. Ever since I was a kid, and I studied Jonestown, and I wondered, how did these people get so wrapped up in this? How, you know, like adults, even as a kid, thinking, I was the strong-willed child, so I thought, why do these adults want to be told what to do and whipped and this and that? Well, now it's happening on a nationwide scale. It's becoming a cult. What, you know, it's just easier for some people just to let somebody else take responsibility for you. And hey, if there's a shortage, well, they'll take care of us. Hey, if there's a virus, they'll tell us what to do and we'll get out of this. We're all in this together. And if there's a little bit of mixture of fear and, you know, just this mixture of fear and this cohesive, we're going to come through this together. We're all afraid, but we're going to lean on each other. I think people genuinely like this time. They like this feeling of community, just like cults. They like this feeling. They're in it for one cause. They're in it for one situation, and that is how they get duped. They stop questioning. They start becoming one community, and they become just really into their own, but it becomes a religion. This has become a religion. It really has. Oh, you have to buy the science. The science. Actually, God is my God, not science, but science is pretty subjective too. It really is. And the main tenet of science is to question things, actually. So, you know, I think real science would tell you to question this. All of it.
All right. So, well, that was abrupt there, but anyway, we're here. This is the Proof Negative Show. I have Bridget and I have Nicole. They're testing to see if they can become freedomist here on Freedomizer Radio. So, did anyone check out the Epstein log that came out today? Because
I have it, but I have not been able to go through it.
No.
Yeah, the judge ordered this to come out, so now that it's out, we can look at the list. I just haven't had a chance to look at it. I have the link, but I'm not going to learn anything while being on air.
Right, right. Very interesting.
And nothing will probably happen like normal.
Of course not. They'll get away for another day.
Although nothing would make me happier than seeing some Clintons and a Bill Gates go to jail for their dealings with Epstein. That would be the best thing ever.
And they won't. The Clintons have gotten away with literal murder for decades. And
yeah.
Bill Gates, he has a wonderful name. He created Microsoft. He's a great guy.
Well, Michael Robinson Obama is a nice lady also, though.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. She minds his own business, and we go on.
Okay. Bridget, we'll be back in a few problems. All right. That's fine. All right, so we have to take a timeout at some point anyway. We might as well just do it now at the top of the hour. All right. You got about 4 minutes, Nicole. I'm going to grab a break.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back, everyone.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worsening of your heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Oh.
Peace, what's up, y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Solve it, Coagula.
Solve it, Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Bible prophecy fulfilled.
Snakes in the grass.
Son of position. Got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb blast.
I got ya. I got ya right where I want ya. Like a raw line in the field, I stalked ya. Creeped up on ya, peeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on ya. Once I get ya, you'll be a boy.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, drunk, all part of the game.
Ain't this even so long now, it's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow the world of Satan.
And the new norms, the new world order.
Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.web.com. That's official, ninjascroll.web.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you up.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So he wants to work for the IRS. Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luckers who will let us get away with it.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org. Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Two of our three-hour extravaganza here. I am Proof Negative. We have Nicole, we have Bridget, who are trying to become the next freedomist here. So where do I want to go from here? So I was hoping that I could have read that Epstein list, but I'm not good at reading court documents quickly like that. So who do I have left here?
Nicole.
All right. I just didn't know if you were here. I got quiet.
Oh, is Bridget here?
She said she'd be back in a few minutes. She had to do something real quick.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So something I was reading here from Zero Hedge, where a certain Clinton that will remain nameless said that we need a climate emergency, and that particular pronoun was they said that they would enact a climate emergency if they became president in 2016. So that person already knew the score, and we dodged a bullet temporarily. But
temporarily,
COVID emergency and climate emergency, it's the same thing.
Yeah, see, everything with the government is an emergency. And I will say this. Now, this was presented to me about a year and a half ago, and I thought they were nuts at the time. I love that old meme that says, I need a new conspiracy. All of my old ones are coming to pass. So that's really the case. She told me, well, you know, they're spraying this stuff into the atmosphere that is causing the weather to change. And I thought, okay, you're a little nuts. But here in San Diego, California, for example, winters, I grew up here, and this used to be paradise. It's really tragic what the government is doing to California. It used to be just paradise. San Diego, America's finest city. Are you kidding? I grew up here since I was 8. And the winters are just getting colder and colder and colder, and the summers are getting hotter, more humid. I went to St. Louis last summer, and it was actually about the same humidity-wise there. And I used to live in St. Louis for a time, and it was brutal all the time. And now it's just almost a tie. And winters are just getting brutal. And see, out here, we're not built. Our buildings and our homes and, you know, our insulation, they don't turn on the heat everywhere you go. You know, it's just, we're not built for that. We're built for sunshine in the winter, or, you know, 70 degrees. And we're getting 48, 50 degrees. Sometime last winter it got down to the 30s. And that is not like California. And so, yeah, they're creating a crisis, all right. They've been creating that, too, along with the China virus.
Well, with those geoengineering trails, that's supposed to lower the temperatures.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so our fearless president is still creating it, possibly, from the side. But, I think as long as the Democrats are in office, there's going to be a crisis. There's always going to be an emergency of some sort. And it's just going, as the Bible predicted, it's going to get worse.
Or it could be
Oh, go ahead, Bridget.
Oh, I was going to say, or that lunatic, who's covering up the sun or wants to cover up the sun. Like, what's that all about?
The aliens. Don't forget the aliens, the UFOs. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the new one out there, right?
Yeah, they ran out of stuff to tell us, so now they have to go to the alien cart. That's how desperate they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember someone said that jokingly one time, like, oh, I can't wait until they said the aliens have arrived. So then we have an attack against, someone else or, something in that aspect. But it's like, oh, great. Well, here it goes. Pretty soon we're going to be shooting.
The things we joked about 20 years ago, like, this transgender crisis is just evil. At the YMCA, there was a 17-year-old girl taking a shower, and trans woman, man, walks into the bathroom. And 30 years ago, you would never dream of having this.
Well, what I find crazy is that I used to go to, like, gay bars when I was, in my late teens, early 20s maybe or whatever, because they played the best music. But I always found it really crazy that as a woman, I could never go into the men's bathroom. Not that I wanted to, but women's bathrooms obviously are extremely busy. You can never use the bathroom. We have lines, right? So, especially when you're drinking, it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to pop into that boys' room over there, you know. But you would get in trouble. Like, that's, you know, and we're talking 80s. Like, no, you can't come in here. But drag, because obviously I was at a gay bar, lots of them, would you need to come to the bathroom? Now, I never had a problem with it, but I kind of would question it at some point. It's like, really? And obviously, I spoke to a lot of them, so I know they were really going through, you know, the transition and all that kind of stuff. But it's still shocking. You know, it's surprising, like, even then, you know, we're talking 1989, and, you know, that was the thing. But back then, it was just, you know, you were either gay, bisexual, or transsexual. You know, now I can't even
keep
up. And
the problem is that they're pushing this agenda on our children. You know,
yeah,
as an adult, you know, obviously it's not biblical. I don't condone it because of that, and I'm a Christian. But, you know, if you're not a Christian and you're not claiming to be, obviously you do what you're going to do, but don't take this into our children's schools and make this normal, because it's not normal. And you can't say that today. 30 years ago when I was growing up, you could say it. Now you can't. But it is not normal,
yeah.
And they're trying to normalize it. They have normalized it for all intents and purposes,
and
it's
and that's
not.
What I, and that's what I find crazy, because that was, you know, that was you know, a type of people that, you know, I hung out with. I didn't look at them any different. They didn't judge me. I didn't go in there and they, you know, hey, Bridget, you know, you need to be one of us, or you need, you know, I'm a straight woman, just enjoyed the music, and I had a friend, and he would put on shows. He would do some drags, and that was it. There was no other reason.
Yeah, it's more subtle than that. They don't just come out and say you need to. What they say is,
yeah,
well, if you have those feelings, it's okay. It's perfectly
yeah,
normal, and that's
to,
just how you're
but
born.
But to allow a 9-year-old and say, yeah, you want to change? Well, let's change your sex. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it today. Like, at 9? 9 years
mm-hmm.
old?
And there are, I've seen this on YouTube.
30, let alone 9.
I've seen this on YouTube, these young people. Just a little out of high school that have changed. They've done the transition, and now they want to detrans, and they regret it. They regretted it the minute their breasts were removed. They regretted it. You know, you know, they thought, okay, now I'm going to feel something different, and they felt something different. All right, it just wasn't what they expected. And you know, they admitted on this channel. His name is Buck. The show's called Buck You. And he admitted that, one of the people admitted, you know, I was pressured. You know, I was basically, oh, come on, you know, you can take this medication right now. We'll get you going. And it's just, it's just evil, because they don't even have time to outgrow it. I mean, I was a tomboy as a teenager. That doesn't mean I wanted to be one. I just wanted to not necessarily put makeup on all the time or wear dresses. That doesn't mean I wanted to be a boy. I am as feminine as it gets.
Oh. All right, so let me do this. We haven't played Mr. Broccoli today, so I want to get you guys used to the fact of watching... See, they have a few different villains, or not villains necessarily, but people that Broccoli Man runs into.
Okay, like Vaccine Man.
Oh, we don't have Vaccine Man.
Not yet. Just kidding.
We have the Wiretap, and then we have the Millennials. There's Liberal Person, which you won't see today. There's the Factor, who's the fact checker. But we're going to see the Millennials, and maybe if you want, we could do a Wiretap. But this one, Bridget and Nicole, we play this together live, so you turn your audio down, and we play the, you can watch it, and we play the audio through the radio.
Gotcha.
So, Bridget, are you here? Bridget might not be here.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right, so when you're ready, when you have the link queued up, let me know and I'll count it down.
You mean you want us to play it at the same time or just watch it while you... Okay, got it.
Yeah, play it at the same time as us, but turn your audio down because the radio will be enough audio.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
This episode is called Let's Make That Money. So, Nicole, you ready?
Yes, go ahead and play.
All right, and Bridget, you're ready? All right, so I'm going to count down. So, 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey again, sugar. How is that stipend from the California reparations going?
Well, Jimra, Sims tried to pay us off wife $5 million. But we thinks we can get $5 million every single year. The state senators are finna trying to pass it for a yearly paycheck. Then we can make all the white sister and the males pay for it.
I am so happy I get my $5,000 a month just for leasing a trans. I get surprise visits from Nuarte to make sure I am really a trans. Sometimes he has to inspect mine and Malik's junk. We have to make sure we tape up for junks and hide the salami. Then he has his scissors and cuts the tapes off.
That sounds pretty sus, Mike.
If I make $5 million a year, I will let them see my stuff every single day. I finna be paid.
I watched that speech by Brandon last night. That was the best speech ever.
Dude, I cannot watch Brandon anymore, player. Dude is just too creepy and angry for me.
You dumbass. Brandon is a great president. I will do whatever him says because him's his Democrat.
If it wasn't for Brandon, it would not be legal for my girlfriend to help me get pregnant. He legalized it.
I know. It's that Green Jones again. This dude is way too white and too cisgendered.
I hope he does not say any racist hush today.
Now there's a dude that wants to arrest me for getting pregnant. I bet he did not even watch Brandon's speech yesterday.
I would never watch that Octogene Orion talk. I don't like being lied to by presidents.
You are an idiot, broccoli man. He lowered the price of gas the most in world history.
When Trump was in office, the price of gas when he left was $1.81 a gallon. Then it was at $7.54 a gallon. And now the price is $4.55 a gallon. Explain how that is better.
See, even you have to admit him's lowered the price of gas. It's great we have 2 more years until Michael Robinson Obama will be as our president.
Michael Robinson Obama is such a nice lady.
Brandon said everything that was true yesterday. And blame all of our troubles on Trump. That is so true.
As him should. Brandon is the second best president ever. Only Obama's better.
Please. Tell me why Brandon is the best president ever.
He beat Trump to become president. That is all he needs to do so he can be the best president ever.
Facts, Mike. Trump is too white to be president.
Isn't Brandon white?
Yes, but he is different. He is a Democrat.
Brandon said that cell phones, refrigerators and dishwashers got laid off. We need to put them all back to work.
So inanimate objects are now getting unemployment?
Yes, it is totally not cool to have our electronics get unemployment. Brandon also said we have a jumping shortage.
Dude, you said like a jumping shortage. Can't you just do some jumping jacks, player?
You dope. Brandon said we have to ration our jumping to only 3 times a day.
I wonder if he will crack down on basketball games. Those fools jump way too many times. We need to make sure no one hogs up all the jumping so everyone else can jump too.
Dude, I am so not cool with how Brandon did not do anything about China spying on with their spy balloons.
Brandon did the best thing he can do about the balloon. He let the balloon go through all of the United States. Then he let people shoot it down once it went over the Atlantic Ocean. Trump would have been dumb and not let China spy on us. He would have it to be shot down in Alaska. Then China would not have been allowed to spy.
Well, isn't that the point? We are not supposed to let other countries spy on us. It is an act of war to invade other countries' airspace.
We were already under war when Trump because president. He invaded my airspace. Wimpy on The View is one of the smartest journalists ever. Hers is black.
I am so glad that Brandon said it is about time we make America great. No president in recent history said it was time to help Americans.
Dude, didn't Trump have his slogan Make America Great Again?
You something, Ducker. Not only are you way too racist for saying that, but you are too generous for calling me a dude. I'm a trans travesty. That's why I get $5,000 every month just for being a trans.
I heard we are now going to be allowed to take up to $2,000 now without anyone being allowed to do anything. I need my four-finger discount.
Stealing is wrong. Even if the state is not arresting you for it, you should believe in the golden rule.
The only rule I have is I have to get all mines. I'm black, so all you owe me mines.
Sugar, your skin color does not mean you're better than anyone else, V.
You just pissed because you are only half black and half Puerto Rican. You should have thinks about that when you born.
Khmer, you should really think about becoming a trans. Come help me scoop up all this money for being a trans. You can be a trans Mavericke.
Brandon also says we have to pay trillions of dollars every single day over to the Ukraine. We have to do whatever Zelensky says because Hems is a great globalist.
I am so happy that the globalists want to kill every human and animal on Earth. Then they will bring back dinosaurs, the holy mammoths, and dodo birds. We need to save the Earth for them.
Please. Stop listening to these clowns. Please check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time on the West Coast. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Proof has on great co-hosts, excellent guests, and a lot of great information you need to know about. Get educated and listen to Proof Negative. freedomizerradio.com.
Only racists and genderists listen to Freedomizer Radio. I only watch Vomiting with the Stars and Celebrity Drag Queen Storytime. Remember, Brandon is awesome because he is not Trump.
All right, I hope it was okay.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it.
Well, I hope you liked it. I try not to waste your time.
I'll be curious how you do the... Those computer voices sound like ones I use. I'm just curious. Those are interesting. You have them at different speeds. That's good.
Yeah, they're computer voices.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I could show you one with the wiretap if you've never seen him.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Let's see, which one do I want? I'm scrolling through here. I don't know which one I want to show you. Let's do the white one. This one is called White, and this features the wiretap. Okay, you ready to click on it, Bridget?
Yep. I just got it right now.
Yeah.
Let me do a sprint again, same time. Oh, well.
Yes. Yeah, I'll count it down, and then we hit play. So just let me know when both of you have it up on Rumble.
Excuse me. I got it.
Okay. Nicole, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. All right, so let's get White out of the way here. So Three, two, one, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. I need to detain you for being a racist, sir.
Oh, really? Do tell how you came up with that fake news.
You just done did ate three white eggs. You could have asked for brown eggs. But no, you had to eat the white eggs. Even I cannot believe you just did that.
That sounds like some made-up stuff to get some Michael Robinson Obama voters all riled up.
First you buy a gas stove, then you eat white eggs, then you listen to Barry White. Why do you be this so racist? Besides, Michael Robinson Obama is a very nice lady.
You dud. Barry White is black. He is my favorite R&B singer ever.
Why are you so in cold steady fronting like a triple slipping MC green dude? You need to listen to someone less racist. Like Jack Black, sir.
But Jack Black is white. Barry White is black.
Ahem, green dude. This is not the time to backsist me, little biznitch. Just for that racist outburst, I shall be requiring you to remove said dungarees and procure them on the sidewalk right this instant in front of my person. If you like, I can also remove my uniform as well. I have nothing to hide.
Another day of the wiretap trying to see my kumquats. That is just one big bottle of Nopewiser.
You shall be required by G. Globalist to do exactly as I say, green dude. The World Economic Forum is so bloody tired of you fighting our authority. And you have the nerve to come out here on these main streets without even putting a bloody scam on that face. Who do you think you are, green dude? Or a big stuff?
Look, I have crime to fight. And you are also lucky I am not arresting you right now for you grooming children at drag queen story time.
You're a little busy. It is completely legal for these trans kids to watch someone shake in their groove thing and exposing their junk to little childrens. I sometimes identify as gay, so it is okay.
That is the fakest news that has ever been faked. Who did you get to write that? ChatGPS?
But it's okay, sir. When I do drag queen story time, the news sometimes shows us doing the grinding. They pixel out all of our junk so it is not on television. It gets videotaped to play in classrooms across the United States without any editing. These videos are not suited for adults to watch. They are only suitable for the first grade classrooms.
I so need to arrest you for telling me this.
Which is why I need to dumb diddly dad and it needs to be arresting you, sir, for being a stone cold biasnitch.
I do hope we can get someone like Project Veritas to come expose this crime operation.
Don't worry, green dude. The only thing we are exposing is your kumquats and your monkey. And perhaps my own if you do so choose, green dude. You never try me. Always stood right by me. Make living lively highly. Spoken of my only love, the only one you're my wifey. Make my life complete. Sweet but you know when to flip it street. Freak but only when it comes to me. See that's why you're my wifey.
That is the biggest nope I am ever going to say in my life.
That is the biggest yes I am ever going to say in my life. The next drag queen story time is at the library on Washoe Avenue, sir. It is BYOB. I can bring you as my bring your own boothing. We can bring some grasshoppers and beetle burgers for everyone to eat. Dark Cherry is going to bring some delicious skewered Dolly Polly's, green dude.
What part of I need to arrest you for being a child groomer do you not understand?
You need to loosen up, green dude. When we kill off the 99% by putting everyone in the metaverse, no one will care how old they are or what gender them are. If we can get everyone to forget what gender or species they are, those useless dolts in something that cares will be begging to know and to get on that metaverse and put their body in a Lysnecker suicide pod. Especially if it's for the greater good. People are lined up all over these mean streets begging to cut their life into pieces. This is my last resort.
Why are you so insistent on killing so many people?
So we need to eradicate the 99% dolts and fuss budgets so we can bring back old species like the woolly mammoth, a stegosaurus, and the Thailand tiger. We are going to bring back all these animals like it is the year 799. It will help us fight climate change.
Please, explain to me how bringing back the stegosaurus and the Thailand tigers will help fight climate change.
One night in Bangkok makes the hard man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy. One night in Bangkok and the tough guys tumble. Can't be too careful with your company. I can feel the devil walking next to me. I would so much like to take you to Bangkok every night, green dude.
I think this is the most sexual harassment I have ever had in my life.
Well, it is a good thing that G. Low Buddhist doesn't bloody care. He only cares about you stop exposing our new world order crime syndicate and he demands you put the bloody scam on that face.
Don't worry, that won't ever happen.
Don't worry, that will happen.
Hey everyone. Please help us fight these new world order globalist clowns. We need to boycott anyone and any company that attends the World Economic Forum. Also check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on Pacific Time. Proof has on great co-hosts, excellent guests, and always lets everyone know what that latest things the global cysts are trying to do. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live to listen to Proof Negative.
You something that cares out there should never listen to Freedomizer Radio. You need to listen to Klaus Schwab and George Soros. If you listen to the Green Dude and Freedomizer Radio, then you will unfortunately not be able to learn the importance of eating the bugs and owning the nothing. We need everyone to live in 15 minute cities and get you microchips. Now put your smell-o-vision onto the fake news network and do not dial obey the new world order.
All right, so now you are a little familiar with the wiretap.
Very good.
So, yeah,
awesome.
There are hundreds of episodes.
They should be showing these a lot more than what they're showing now.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get more people to watch them, of course, and then I'm hoping that we can get some comments going.
Yeah, for sure.
The last time someone put a comment on my Rumble channel was in September, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I need some interaction.
Is there a way to comment on this show? Do you get a lot of comments? Do you get calls?
Yeah, we take calls. Probably not today, but we do get calls.
Excellent.
But
excellent. So
comments on the Rumble channel. Go ahead.
What do you think about the social scoring that they're going to do now? Social credit score. If you're a good girl on Facebook and you say politically correct things and Twitter and all that, then okay. They'll give you a good credit score. If not, well, this is 1984, about a couple decades later.
That I have not heard.
Oh, yeah.
I don't own a cell phone, so my score is going to be zero for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, China's doing it, and they're talking about bringing it over here. So if you're not woke enough, you're not going to be able to buy stuff. This is not immediate, but they're working on it.
Did you hear about that store? I can't believe I'm not sure what country it started in. Obviously, we know everything is turning into self checkout, but I guess there's a store. I guess you enter
the whole
swiping or something.
Store, right. where you need a microchip.
The credit card.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yep, then you can be tracked everywhere you go. No cash allowed.
I think that's the whole idea, you know.
Yep.
The self checkout, I don't know. That's just that can be so annoying.
Oh, it is. I'm kind of old school. Don't bother me with tech stuff. I hate tech stuff. I'm here, you know, you guys hire the help. That's wonderful. You take care of that and just let me get my stuff. But what do I know? I'm from the rotary dial era.
Well, I'm struggling.
I'm going to let both of you talk amongst yourselves for like 3 minutes. I need a couple minutes here. I'll be right back.
Like I was going to say,
hope you do your thing.
I mean, there was a time. Sometimes I sounded like a lunatic, you know, because I was like, "Stop going into the self checkout," you know, because people are going to lose their jobs, you know. And this was before I became a lunatic. And then, you know, I rarely go into that store, Walmart. But you know,
honestly, it's just a pain. It's just a pain. You know, pretty soon they're going to knock out customer service altogether. I mean, they're already doing that. Everything is online. Online. If you want to make a reservation, do it online, or you have to, like, plane reservations. Some airlines will charge you $15 just to get an agent to make the reservation for you. And they claim that it's cheaper, you know, your plane ticket is cheaper, you can get some better deals online. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing with auto pay, you know. Everything is auto pay. You know, they strip your bill. But if you want to talk to someone, sure, we'll take your payment. How about another, you know, $10 some dollars? So what is everybody doing? You know, like, is anybody working? Like, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. And then they wonder, where's the jobs? You know, there's a number of reasons people are out of work, and they claim it's because we're lazy and we just like our checks. No, it's because we have to jab our bodies, or our jobs are being taken over by robots.
Well, yeah, and everything got shifted. You know, I mean, whoever was, you know, trying to do this job, they moved to that job. You know, whatever the case may be, you know, everything just shifts.
But
I think I personally believe that a lot of things, you know, I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't know. Sometimes I try to go, like, early, but I know when I used to shop, like, the grocery stores, you know, when I would go, like, in the evening time, and it's like, no, the deli closes, you know, at 5 or 6. I'm like, well, how in the heck? How do people who have a, you know, what happens to open till 8 or 9? And it's like, close. Oh, we were short staff. I'm like, so you're trying to tell me, you know, my son who's 15, you can't hire him? What do you mean you can't hire anybody? Now, I personally believe when somebody was over there doing their accounting, no different than why a lot of people don't go back into offices. They realize how much money they've saved. They're like, no, if they made it through, you know, 3 years, when things closed early, or, you know, we're going to keep it that way because people put up with it. That's the bottom line. I mean, corporations, you know, they will penny pitch anybody for a buck, you know. I mean, which I find are crazy. I was just reading Disney is laying out 7,000 jobs. I don't know how much that is, how much, you know, they're losing because they lost like 41% last year, you know, and all their... But then they pay, you know, like, I don't know, like a million some plus, probably even more, for like a three set. What are those Super Bowl commercials? They pay a bundle to draw in, you know, Disney. Wow, well, you certainly had money for that 30-second commercial. Like, if people haven't come in 2 years, what makes you think they're going to come now? Like, come on.
Yeah.
And
really, they're just trying to take small businesses out, and really, like restaurants. I don't know if you've noticed, but over just the past 10, 15 years, restaurants are slowly closing, or if they're staying open, their service has declined, their food has declined, their menu has fewer items on it, and it's really tragic.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. I have to go grocery shopping tomorrow, so I actually, it was like the first time I've like ordered out. That's why I kind of kept going in and out. I was having problems with my delivery, so I ordered like a gluten-free pizza, and
like a pork chop, which, like I said, I hadn't said, but I eat everything grass-fed, so this is conventional pork chop. And mainly the main reason why I mentioned I go clean was for the simple fact that I get sick. So now I feel like horrible crap because I ate the pork chop that, I told myself I wouldn't eat. And I'm like, what's a couple bites?
My body's like, what are you doing? I don't eat grass-fed all that much, but I did go to a place with a friend of mine, and honestly, I had grass-fed lamb chops. They were the best lamb chops I ever had. The taste it's pure. I don't know how to explain it. It's just more.
Yeah, it's a different taste because when I started, I mean, obviously, I didn't buy lamb, and I didn't buy my steaks all grass-fed. You know, I started very slowly. Like, I think I just did, like, the ground beef. And it was hard to find. You know, it depends where you go. So I really just did grass-fed, just beef, my tacos and stuff like that. My son didn't like it. My son's 19. And he was like, ew, gross. What is this? Well, because we're so used to that fat content. Well, they're used to it. So, I mean, there's obviously fat in it, but it's a different taste. But once I started doing it, I mean, I felt 100% better. So it's very rare do I eat regular conventional. But when I do, I get bloated. My stomach feels like garbage. Mm-hmm. I feel sluggish.
That's good.
So,
good to change your diet.
And that's, like I said, and then I lost the weight. You know, and people had bought it, like, in the very early beginning. They're like, oh, my God, aren't you starving? Like, do you, like, ever eat? Like, don't you get tired of salad? I'm like, who ever said I was eating salads all day? Like, trust me, I'm eating my chips, and I'm eating pizza, and I'm eating everything. I mean, sure, obviously, not going but crazy, but I feel like I don't feel like I eat as much. Like, if I had a burger, probably because there's all that MSG and all that fat and all that stuff that you eat in it.
Sure.
It's very addicting, so you just always want more and more. So, I mean, I pretty much want to eat a meal. I'm pretty satisfied, and I'm pretty good. But... that's a whole different thing. But
why it is that people get mad when you tell them that you have grass-fed beef. That's what they're supposed to eat.
Yeah, they don't understand it. That, it's hard to, like, really explain it. Like, the cows eat this, they do that, and they're like, I don't understand. They all eat the same thing. I'm like, no, not really. There's a difference, But it's hard to educate people, Like my friend, she went to the store the other day, and she goes, she was like happy, and she's like, look, I bought cage-free eggs, and I'm like, okay, I don't comment. I'm not trying to, whatever, okay.
No, you don't want to lecture the world. That gets obnoxious, good.
It's just like I feel great that she's on a path, but then again, if you tell somebody. No, you should, but then it's like if you try to, encourage them, like, no, there's a better choice or something, or try to at least, again, not to be smarter than anybody else, because like I said, this is all a learning thing. This is not like I've been doing this for 20 years and I know more than the next person, But if you try to then say, no, you should probably get this. This has more protein, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a reason why one should eat something versus the other. I didn't want to hear it. So it's like, okay, I'm done. Yeah, but it's crazy. The olive oil thing, like my friend, she'll buy, she'll Puerto Rican and rice, and she's like, well, I'm doing it the Puerto Rican way, with vegetable oil. I'm like, oh, okay. My mother's Puerto Rican, and she's 83, and trust me, there's no vegetable oil in her house. You know what I mean? It's like, You've got to evolve as more as Can't always go because my grandma did this, because that's how we did things, If you know a little bit about food a little bit, it just kind of gives you a little up, to eat healthy. I mean, if you choose not to, that's fine too, I mean, the problem is inflation. Inflation plays a part today, how to eat
things,
because everything is just skyrocket, And you got a family,
yep.
And you got to figure out, are we going to have, whatever you have to cut when you have a big family,
mm-hmm.
But it's, times are tough, which I know you know, people who get the SNAP request card, I don't know how you guys reference it, you know, that I believe the people who are receiving it, you know, who got that extra emergency Quest money, I think this is the last, no, we're in February. So this month, no, they're not going to get it. So things are going to get really crazy where people are like, oh, my God, you know, what are you going to do? They really depended on that extra, you know, some $200, if not more, that they got for the government. And now that's going to be wiped out.
Yeah.
So a lot of starving families are going to be out there. But, you know, does that mean we bring back the Quest card? I mean, I think that was excessively butchered. I thought a lot of people took advantage of it very, very early on in the beginning, you know.
People should learn how to use coupons again.
Yeah, coupons. Yeah. Coupons are good way to say coupons. But people got crazy. You know, I mean, I'm not saying everybody. I wouldn't even know what the percentage is. But people got nuts. Like, oh, my God, look at all this free money. And then they would go crazy. And I'm like, you know, that money isn't going to last forever. It's not going to be there forever. You know, you got to know how to still shop. It doesn't mean you go, you know, I'm not saying they can't buy chips or, you know, go buy a lobster. I mean, whatever. But at some point, you know, people are selling them, you know, to make money. And, you know, that hurts everybody else who, you know, literally depend on it at the end of the day, you know. But we'll see what happens if they bring it back. Or that's just your tough luck out of that one. Just no different than the unemployment that they were getting, what, $600 extra a week they got for, like, 18 months or something? That's insane.
Well, I don't know about 18 months because I had that for a while. But for a few months it was plus 600, then sometimes it was plus 400 or plus 300, and then there were some months where it was just whatever you were at. They would rotate that every few months.
Oh, but when was it every week? Like you said, it depends.
Yeah, like for 12 weeks they might do unemployment plus 600, and then they would phase that down and do unemployment plus 300, and then for 12 weeks we might get unemployment plus 400. And then for 3 months, we might just get the regular unemployment. Then they do something else.
Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, granted, I mean, there's a reason why people got it. I get it. Everything got shut down. I mean, how else would everybody survive? You know,
Because I was looking, I had a day job for 15 years that I lost over COVID. And it was hard for me to find another day job. And I was out there on those mean streets putting in applications. I didn't feel one bit guilty. I was putting in applications, and I just wasn't getting chosen.
Yeah.
So I'll take it.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, and that's like when you stepped away, like I was telling, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but
Nicole.
Like I was just saying, you know, Nicole, that's what I thought. You know, we made so many adjustments when things, you know, time, you know, when things close at a certain time, it's just kind of like, you know, will they extend it at some point in time, or maybe they extend it a little bit, but it's always, no, we're, you know,
well,
we're still trying
and, you know,
to find people.
They called
like,
it the new normal.
Yeah.
Because they plan to make this normal. It's new. It's normal now. They could have said the new temporary. They use very, you know, if you really listen to the language, they planned to make it this way, not for temporary, or they just call it the temporary normal. They call it the new normal, and that's right. Yeah. Our whole lives have been turned upside down, and even though people are getting, you know, obviously they're going out, they're flying more without masks and this and that, but we aren't the same. We aren't the same people as we were before, and we aren't.
No, it's
that we aren't,
no,
the jobs aren't the same, and the way we do things isn't the same, and there's still places that insist that you get vaccinated and all this. It's just not the same anymore, and that's how they intended it, new normal.
Well, yeah, it's very true, yeah, but the new world order, I mean, they you know, that's coming down, you know,
it's
like, oh, yeah, we planned this, like, you know, I mean, they have their agenda's been rolled out for, you know, they have it very set, you know. The scary thing is do I really want to know what the future holds, you know, the chip and all those other things that it sounds,
we're
going to happen, but...
We're being groomed for this, and the Bible warned us about this, And what we need to do is press into Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. And I do my best not to worry. I pray and I ask the Lord to keep me strong through this and keep me discerning, because we so badly need discernment. I look at it this way. You know, if it weren't for the grace of God, there go I. I could have been the one taking the jab and really thinking this is something good and healthy. My son took it. My parents took it. My, you know, relatives took it. Just people really believe they're doing something healthy for themselves. And honestly, I just, God gave me that discernment from the beginning, and I'm grateful for it. And we just need to keep strong in our spiritual lives and stand firm in the Lord, because that's where we're going to get our strength and our discernment from.
Well, and that's why they wanted to, you know, close all the churches and everything, because they knew they would take people's faith away, and they would,
exactly.
You know, and then just continue to corrupt and, you know, just destroy everybody's faith. I talked to some of my, like, Muslim friends, and they're like, yeah, sure, they told us that, you know, the mask, you know, their temple, I don't know, some of the, you know, their churches of worship, they were closed, but they're like, no, we went. We still went. Yeah, we heard them loud and clear. No, we couldn't go. But we were all there.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. You know, we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I really have noticed not just that, but just churches these days have really turned to compromise. They are adjusting to the liberal agenda. You know, liberals are invited to come to Jesus Christ, but like all sinners, we come to Jesus Christ, we're invited to come, but we have to adjust to him. He doesn't adjust to us. And unfortunately, the churches, these seeker-friendly things, are adjusting to the world.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's also where, like, the music industry just kind of shifted a little bit, like,
gospel. A little.
I don't know who the group is, but it's like, you know, on the Grammys, you know, the Grammys went nuts the other day,
yeah,
and they have the gospel group, and everybody's like, it's a front. They're not really gospel. They're not in it, you know. And again, you know,
there's a shift of, even in the churches, speaking of music, we need to play only this kind of music to cater to the youth. And, there was a time, the Bible says, older men teach the younger men, older women teach the younger men, women. Why are we adjusting to the young? Why, we're called to be holy, not hip. And we are in a generation that is so obsessed with being young that we just follow the young. And we want to live vicariously in their youth when, you know, kids need, and, you know, young adults need wisdom from a generation who has lived, supposedly, and grown up. And we are not living that today. We're living in a generation that just wants to cater to, let's listen to their music and we'll be hip. Well, hey, if they want to do this, and, you know, let them be hip and we'll have gay Christians and we'll, you know. And it's becoming where we're adjusting culturally to the world and not to Christ. And that isn't what the Bible says to do, period. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no new Jesus. There's no different God. It's the same God.
Yeah. I'm not sure where the world is heading. It doesn't look good when you look at some things. I mean, obviously, you know, we all survive on our own levels, but when you hear the media, you know, it's like you want to go on your own, just go on your own land and just kind of shut everything out. I mean,
time in the 80s when you could watch the news and you could get some semblance of the truth. I don't even own a TV anymore. I won't watch TV.
I used to watch
Good Morning America. I used to watch ABC News. I can't even do that anymore.
I don't either. Like I was sharing with Proof. I'm like, you know, I don't watch much of nothing. You know, unless it comes in my feed. I'm a Facebook whore. I ain't gonna lie. You know, I do my TikToks. You know, just for entertainment, but only because it's just entertainment and fun. And that's how that's really how I kind of grab my news. I'm like, oh well, there's a lot of that going on. Well, let me read up on what's going on. But I definitely don't want anything from the news. I find it nauseating. You know, there's always those clips where, you know, they have that one word and they run with it, you know, and they're just all synchronized to have the same message over and over and over and over again, you know. You know, once in a while, you know, of course, depending on, you know, but everything is just being bought out, so everything is very leftist. And it's just like, no, we're giving you the news, and again, we're programming you to believe what we're telling you, and it's very, very hard, you know, you have to go outside of the past to find truth.
I graduated from journalism and media studies with that degree, and so I have a background in writing. I have a background in radio a little bit, and you know what I learned in school was accuracy, and you know, be objective, two sides to the story. And I'm sorry, my field betrayed me. You know, thank you, but none of this I learned in school is being portrayed in the popular media today. Nothing. There is no other side of the story. You don't see CNN saying, well, this side over here believes we should wear masks at all costs and we're all in it together, but there's another side, and we're going to take a look at, you know, Joe Schmuck has the story. You don't see that.
Yeah, what happened?
That isn't
that's definitely not. And I think that's where a lot of the trouble lays, is because people who are have not gotten hip to, you know, you're being fed a message, and until they come to that realization that yes, that in fact is truth, and they just like, no, why would the media lie to us? You know, when they have that notion and there's no convincing of them otherwise. That's where we lose everybody, and you know, because they've been brainwashed to believe that what we give you is fact. You know, like what you had said earlier, you know, the hospitals, oh my God, the hospitals are this and
you know, and then
you walk in, it's just like, yeah, and I'm like, you know, I used to go into the hospital, I'm like, where are they? Oh, well, they're on a different floor. Well, I've been sitting here, you know, in the emergency room for like 2 hours. Did they come through like an imaginary door? Like, where do they come from?
Right.
Where are they going? Where are they? Just come on.
And you don't dare, like back then especially, you didn't dare question anything. If you did, you don't care about anybody's health. You don't care. You're just out there trying to kill. I remember the first Facebook, very first post, all I said was, the emperor has no clothes on. And that got out because they didn't really get what I was saying. That's all I said. And then after a while, I posted, and I kind of started questioning this stuff. And that's when I started to lose friends, one by one. You're trying to kill us. How dare you, you cruel, rotten, you're trying to kill your children
selfish.
And your old grandmother.
I was I was very selfish in my ways because people were just like, Bridget, I don't know. It's a mask. Why are you making such a big issue again? And I'm like,
you're just a rebel without a cause. That's what my mother called me.
Some people, they were a lot more easier to debate. Some of them, I knew they were so conflicted, and so I don't waste my time with them. Some of them I know, but they're not as sensitive, so I can push their buttons. Some people okay, you can believe whatever you want.
I try really not to bring it up, although sometimes COVIDiots, we call them around here, if there's a COVIDiot around, I will, just because they annoy me, will rub it in and say, oh, I never did any of this stuff from the beginning, and my health is fine. And, they just get so angry. But, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, I'm tired of not, this is America. And it's time that we can speak our side, too. You know, this isn't just about liberals all the time. We have our side,
and then,
and our side is very poorly portrayed most of the time. And it's, you know, even with all the new conservative stations, you know, still the majority of media publicity is on liberals' time.
Yeah. You know, and the thing, too, is just that I kind of lost my thought where I was going with this. But, yeah, they're very convinced. And, you know, they would always just say that, you know, just, I just didn't care. You know, that was really where everything went down to, you know, with everything. Oh, yeah, free of speech. That's what I was going to say. You know, you're just doing this because, you think you're going to lose your freedom of speech. I'm like,
We are.
They didn't see that. But I'm like, where did you get that? You know, because some people are very uneducated. They just go again, whatever the media is telling them. So they're just like, they just again run with
the
rant that they heard on the news. And
the
news got them, you know, to go, you know, against somebody else that, you know, can say, can you think for yourself? You know, can you think for yourself? That's all. You know, I'm like, I'd be the first person to say, hey, trust me, you know, oh my God, do you want, I'm like, you know, and can't tell me no difference because I know how it feels because I lived in, like, in isolation and darkness when I had gotten sick and everything like that. So, you know, I can flip the coin of both ones. Like, trust me, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live in fear. And I did it for reasons, you know, before because I had a stroke and all that kind of stuff. But I'm like, I know what I'm talking about. I'm like, and people still today have trouble recovering. They got themselves so wrapped up in the fear with anxiety. You know, they might venture out, but they're like, oh my God, I don't feel right when I come out with people. They're very germaphobe.
This is why I'm so adamant about feeding your spirit because, you know, especially Christians, that's what boggles my mind. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If you aren't filling your spirit with that, and all you're doing is parking yourself in front of the boob tube all night, of course you're going to be filled with a spirit of fear. What are you feeding your spirit? What are you feeding your soul? You know, it's just like your diet you were talking about. Garbage in, garbage out. If you're going to feed your spirit, all this junk and your soul, all this news that's junk, it's like McDonald's and Doritos. You're going to get sick and you're going to get full of fear. And that is what we're dealing with today.
Right, yeah. And I think a lot of it is too. And I mean, you know, it's just, it's, you know, our mind is so powerful and no different than when people who wake up every, you know, well, probably since we're young. I mean, obviously we teach our children to go to school and, you know, well, we know what school
son if I had
today,
a son today, my son today, I joke, but I'm kind of serious. I think I'd just sit on him and never let him leave the house. You can't even go to the library. No.
You know, but I mean, you know, we get into these routines, and that's all our mind does. It's just that we go from here to there, to here to there, to here to there. Oh, dreading again already, you know, in the morning, and we don't do enough meditation, something I'm going to try to work on, to separate our minds because our minds get so entrapped in, like, you know, our fears, shit, what are we going to do tomorrow? Oh, my God, I hate what happened yesterday. And, you know, we get balls, you know, that's, you know, a lot of where we, you know, hit today with the depression, suicide, and all these things, it's in our mind. But we have to learn to unplug. And, you know, I'm sure,
absolutely.
You know,
for a while, that's all I did was watch videos. And they were good videos. They were all about what was happening. And I'd watch, you know, different ones about the meth. And, you know, and they did help me kind of build up. They were a breath of fresh air for a while. But after a while, I didn't want to hear anything anymore. I just...
Well,
no more videos,
exactly.
No more this, no more that. I don't want to hear anything anymore. It's like battle fatigue. Just don't even bring up the word COVID. Don't bring it up.
No.
Let me
eat
a
totally
meal.
I totally agree, and that's probably, and I shut myself out, and I'm like, sometimes I wonder, I'm like, well, what have I been listening to? Well, and obviously I focus a lot on my health, so, I mean, that was like, I mean, not that I sat in the gym 24 hours, but, I mean, I'm really just self-discovering of who I am. But, I just find it interesting because, like I said, our minds, we've got to learn as individuals to, again, like I said, we've got to learn to unplug and we've got to learn how to figure out to do that. Some people got the meditation down. I always thought, I was like, eh, that's a bunch of, you know, mumble jumble over there.
Well,
but
and really,
true.
We do
need it, you know. I mean, people today, we wake up, the phones are, like, right there. And
yes.
We go to sleep with the phone right there. So, I mean,
yes.
Regardless of what you're listening to, we're attached to something.
Other
I mean,
than,
I'm just
other
guilty.
Than proof who has a landline.
you know, I mean, I applaud him.
Good
very,
for you. I
so.
Think that's great, really.
You know,
I have a landline,
but,
too,
you know,
but I have a cell phone. I'm still guilty.
Yeah, but it is liberating, though, because I know when I have, you know, like I said, when I would at the gym and sometimes like, okay, do I answer these calls? And it would take away from my goal. I have a goal. I'm trying to achieve it. And the minute I picked up the phone, I'm like, oh, crap, here I go. Now,
distraction,
I lost, you know,
yeah.
People would ask me, they're like, holy crap, you've been in here for like 2.5 hours. I'm like, shit, I haven't even got on a machine. I'm stuck on the phone. And
that's,
some of them
you know, that's
in
something that's, you know, kind of symbolic of what we do spiritually. And I think that this time has been rough. I have lost so many friends and not even to COVID. But it's a time really to reflect and draw closer to God. And we get that choice, too. We do have to be, you know, it's tough. It's just like going to the gym.
Yeah.
We have to be
right.
disciplined
we have to
make spiritual choices for our God.
Exactly.
So we
yeah,
can build
we have,
our spirits
we have to
up,
find,
just like our physical.
Yeah, we have to find discipline. And we, you know, some homes still have it for our children, so they're not completely lost. Some people, you know, lost touch. And if you lose them too young, you know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
you got to reel them in. You can't all of a sudden try to change. I mean, you can, I guess. I mean, your children are your children. But trying to do it at 15 or 16 when they're teenagers, and they're like, you want me to do what? You know. But
yeah.
if you start from the beginning, they're not losing anything that they're not. I mean, I remember when my child was very young and, you know, probably even kindergarten, and he's like, hey, everybody's got that Nintendo thing. I'm like, yeah, and your point is what? You'll get it, you know, when I feel like it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a money
when
thing.
When you get a job.
Like, no. Well, no, and that's the thing. The minute they're attached to a video game, that becomes their world, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, kids today, I mean, you know, unless their parents, you know, threw them in sports or something like that. I mean, these kids today, I mean, I don't even know if they go outside. It's literally 24 hours, phone. They have a heart.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they literally, probably if they do put them on a monitor, they take that phone away. They're probably at the verge of having a heart attack, which is kind of scary to think that. But
yeah.
We're just thinking about, you know, 5 to 8 years, there won't be cell phones anymore. It'll just be chip implants.
Go.
Hey, yeah.
Well,
not
you know,
for
the
me.
There
won't.
Well, you know, there was a company.
I'll go back to
I know
rotary
there was
dial.
there was that company in Sweden that started that chip, and then there was a company here in Milwaukee, where I'm from, who their employees. I don't know if they're still around, but I know they started it like some 4 or 5 years ago or something. I don't remember the time frame, but they all the employees and they were excited, like, yeah, chip me up. So when they go to the vending machine, they you know, they swipe with their hands. They go in with their, it sounds cool. Like, I remember movies, you know, back probably, again, like in the early 80s, you know, we would see these houses that were run by everything, but then you'd see the scary one that their house traps them inside and they can't get out because the computer decided to be mean to them, you know. It's like, this is the world that we live in today. And that was so in the 90s. I mean, which, you know, I can't do the math. You know, 40-some years ago, that sounded so, you know, sci-fi. I'm like, nah, that'll never happen. You know, but you know, we're still not, we're not all.
Oh yeah,
we're not all hip.
I remember being 9 years old and reading about phones that were videos, like you could see video. And I was, you know, the landline. That's all I knew. And I thought, what's that going to look like? A TV? How do you see someone through the phone?
Right, exactly.
You know?
And I think they have them, but you know, the only people who probably had them back in the day are, you know, very very wealthy people that, you know, could pay, you know, $3,000-$5,000
yeah.
for a little camera.
Yeah.
That could, and,
but that was
and
so
how many people,
age,
who did they really
you know?
Talk to? Because probably not many people also had their little, you know, the little thing, you know. But, and here we are today that, you know,
if I want to see proof for Nicole, or hey, I just took up a phone and I could chat you in
yep.
so many forms. You know, I can do it through Messenger. I can do it through Snapchat.
Nice.
I can do it through, yeah.
WhatsApp.
So, yeah, it's nuts. But that's where technology has taken us. So, I mean, there's some pluses. That's a plus. I mean, I'm not going to knock that one. But
I mean, there's good and there's bad to all this.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said I occasionally do Facebook Lives.
Yeah, you know, that's great. You know, we can reach information and, you know, in the drop of a dime. That's awesome. But
yeah,
why
and everybody
can't we
wake
up certain people in the drop of a dime? I don't know, you know.
Yeah,
but
then everybody can see how good looking we are, not just how great we sound, you know.
You know, but I think a lot of it is, you know, we've got other people that, you know, got the hand on the switch that are want to continue portraying that image that the world is something else that it's not, and if until you've taken yourself out of that pretend world, you know.
Yep.
So something I do on a regular basis on Spybook is on the weekends I randomly message people that I haven't talked to in years just to say hello, because I keep 5,000 friends at all times. And once a month I go through and remove any deactivated profiles so I can add more people. And you don't want to just collect people. You actually want to interact with them. Because if you're not willing to just randomly say hello once or twice a year, then what good is having a friend?
Right, exactly.
Well, yeah, and as it is, there's so many people. Oh, well, I see you on Facebook anyway. What's, you know, we come from the generation of, we used to, like, hang out at each other's houses, have coffee, sit on the porch.
Right.
That's what neighbors did. And now, hey, what do we need to see each other for? I know what you look like. You're on Facebook. I know what you're up to.
Yeah.
And really, we
yeah.
don't know anything. Anybody can post a nice picture on Facebook. You know?
Yeah, or you could be like, right, exactly. Or you could be like me. I mean, I you know, I post sometimes. So I try to be transparent with my health, but then people take certain things out of context, or they just, you know. But I'm like, that's not my life. That's a 2 second something that I gave you. You know, I mean, that's not me. That's not. I didn't even say that. You know what I mean? It's just, you know.
Well, and
you know,
I have a friend that. We've been friends, quote unquote, you know, well, on Facebook, and since we were in elementary school, you know, and she used to post all the time, and I'd kind of keep up with her and know stuff, and then we'll have our once a year 4-hour conversation, and I found out, whoa, I don't know half the stuff that's been going on, because you just
right.
do little snippets. We don't want everybody in our circle to know
right.
the
that's
deeper
happening.
Stuff.
Yeah,
not.
Yeah. I throw a little, just a tid here and there, you know, whatever, just, and it's become a thing, so it's not like, oh, I'm just doing this today. It's something I've been doing forever. I'm trying to be, you know, but it's, just, you know, but then people are like, well, you seem like you're doing great. I'm like, did I say that? I never even said that. I got drama coming left and right. I put sometimes if I have a little struggle, but I can't tell you everything.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
unless
exactly.
Unless I'm being followed by a camera and I'm getting paid and I got a reality TV, that's a whole different story. But
I mean, I've had pages. I made a separate page a couple times where I just put really close friends on that I'll tell stuff to, but not my main page. I have like 900 people. I don't necessarily want all of these people to know certain struggles I'm having.
Yeah, well, and the crazy thing about Facebook, though, too, is so many things are filtered, so I don't even know how the algorithm works on some of that stuff, like, you know,
yeah.
because I have some friends that I would like to know what's going on with them, you know, but I gotta, like, and then you, like, I go on their page, and I'm like, holy crap, when did all this happen, and why, well, I never had
right.
a scene. And, I mean, granted, you have to be there pretty often, but.
So if you are saying that on Spybook that you're not getting a lot of reach or you're shadow banned, you have to actually start your own algorithm back. You have to physically go onto people's pages and hit like and comment, and you have to instant message with people, and that opens your algorithms, which is why I start saying hello to people.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because I start liking people, or pages, stuff on people's pages, it's because I want to hear more from them. And yeah, I don't even hear from, I have 900 something friends, and I see more ads now than I see posts.
Yeah, you get a lot of them. Always knowing what I was looking at. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, they always know what I was looking at the night before or a second before.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. That's scary. You know, some of it I kind of appreciate because, I mean, I don't shop on Amazon or I don't do a lot of that stuff anymore, but I'm trying, and I might now because I'm kind of slightly homebound, but I don't know. I told myself a long time ago, Amazon is bye-bye. Very desperate measures if I use them, but, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, I meant to buy that. Things are reminding me, but outside of that, I don't like
buying. Yeah, I want to put Amazon on my banned list. I just can't do it.
Yeah,
there's too many things that they're literally the only place that will sell some stuff.
Yeah.
I think during the start of the pandemic is when I said, you're done. So, I don't use them. They're around, and I always think about it. But I'm like, no, I can go to the store. I know where to find it and take my booty out.
Well,
but
one of my favorite things is I love organic, non-GMO. I'm a huge fan of black licorice, and there's a style of licorice called All Sorts. So I can get a 5-pound tub for the same price as if I went to a store out here and got it for 2 pounds.
You can find it cheaper where?
On Amazon.
Okay. Yeah.
So if I can get 5 pounds on Amazon compared to 2 pounds from another store I really don't care that much about, I'll go ahead and get it from Amazon.
Right. Yeah. There's always that.
Well, I had to shop more online when it started because there were just times I didn't want to deal with going into the store and confronting all the time. I mean, honestly, that's just the truth. I didn't want to confront all the time. I just wanted to go and get my stupid stuff and pay for it and go, And
yeah, I went almost 10 months without going into a store. So Imperfect Foods became our sponsor, and then Misfits Market. So I order from them still every so often, and it just comes right to the house.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was out from the beginning. I was a little eerie, probably in the first week. My son was I think 16 at the time. So I was like, oh my God, you're gonna bring a disease to the house. And then I was like, okay, wait a minute. People are not literally dropping down the street. So I think we're good. Because that's how I had pictured it. That's how they had made it seem. It's like, oh my God, you go outside, it's a virus, whatever. But I was like, but everybody seems to be walking just fine. I don't see what the urgency is. But my friend, she did Instacart, so I ran with her all the time. So
Instacart is paying the same companies that refused you for wearing a scam, so you're actually helping them. I won't do that.
Well, no, she worked for them, so she delivered to all the people who didn't go out shopping. But so I just rode with her. So I found it interesting. I mean, just when I look back at the videos, just everything that kept rolling out like on a daily, the 6 feet stickers. There was signs at the grocery stores. You literally couldn't walk in the aisles. They wanted you to walk in a certain aisle. And I was like, oh, this is a hoot, And sometimes I would ride in the scooter depending on what was going on with me. So I was like, oh, my God, here I go again, breaking the rules at the grocery store because I like to go the other way, so I joked about it a lot. But people would be mad at me because I would post these videos back to, family, and they're like, Bridget, what are you doing out there? Like, do you not know how dangerous it is? I'm like, yeah. Okay. Well, anyways,
well, Bridget,
I'm out here.
You've known me for many years now. So
since the beginning. I mean, we're going on 3 years.
People didn't understand how I never get sick. And don't let these coughs fool you. I don't have a cold or the flu or anything. It's just every so often I'll get the coughs and then it goes away.
Yeah,
I'm
probably
not,
allergies.
Yeah. So anyway, people just assume that because I don't like to wear shoes that I'm always going to hurt myself and I'm going to get other people sick and all this stuff. And it's like, no. Just not having a piece of rubber under you doesn't make you a bad person. It just, some people don't like hats. I just don't like shoes.
I find that fascinating that you're never confronted where, well, you probably have your normal places that you're probably not like venturing out of, you know, different places that, you know, they're like, oh,
sometimes.
We don't know you. Yeah, but you don't get a lot of harassment like, hey, we're not going to serve you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, obviously, you know the shmeal to tell them.
Sometimes, but if I go to 100 places, 5 might question it, and 2 or 3 of those I could show them some information, and they will apologize and tell me I'm welcome anytime. But 2 or 3 of those places also will, they don't want to hear it. And I don't care. Then I don't have to give them my money. I'm the deal maker here. So
I
could spend $200 on groceries with you, or I could go to Company B. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going around naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a community for that.
Yeah, we don't go there, but.
Yeah, right.
No, but you'd
think
some of the way some of the people were.
That's another hoot. I can't believe that was, well, I can't say I can't believe. I hate when I say I can't believe because nothing is shocking what the TV shows that they have nowadays. But there was actually, there was a show, I believe, on Netflix that they had people talking about their community of their nudity colonies and stuff. It was crazy. But anyway. But, yeah. But, you know, Netflix was another one, too, that, like, when this all started, too, they went bye-byes, too. I'm like, nope. It was just all in your face, you know, zombie world, this and that. And it's like, you know, just crazy, crazy programming that they had on there. It seems like it's gotten a little better, but I don't know. It seemed a little nut there for a little while.
But it's just funny, though, how wearing the scams on the face is basically I could change the word mask with shoe and vice versa, and it's the same conversation. That's
mm-hmm.
what I found out when I started the Bare Face is Legal.
Hmm. Yeah, very much true. Yeah, very, very, very true.
Well, they'll tell you it's against the law, which it's not, and they'll tell you that you'll get sick, which you won't. My favorite, though, I had a fast food place tell me I need to at least wear flip-flops in case I drop a French fry on my foot.
They really didn't say that, did they?
Oh, why would I lie about that?
No, I know, but that's just...
Why would they say it?
Oh, my God. You know, sometimes people say the damnest things. I swear.
Yeah, but they figure that... if somebody chose to do it, we've been conditioned for 55 plus years that it's wrong and immoral to not have a shoe on. So they figure that we're going to just cower in fear, hoping that nobody says anything to us. And
mm-hmm.
and if they
that's what they're trying to do with math.
Home and put some cheap flip flops on, and then I'll get my Big Mac.
Yeah,
but, you know, I finally remember, you know, being a very young child, you know, I don't know how, again, McDonald's, because that was probably the closest restaurant. I don't believe they had convenience stores back then, McDonald's, you know, back in the 70s. And I swear I was probably barefoot, like, all the time. And I remember, you know, rolling into, you know, like the store, you know, like a McDonald's or something, and always having that sign, no service, no shoes, whatever. And I'd be like, oh, crap, you know, like if we'd left to, like, you know, we were swimming or something. We just ran, you know, two, three blocks. You know, those kids, you know, we're crazy.
Yeah, but most people don't know the story behind those signs. So I don't know if you've seen any of my work on that.
Yeah, I have seen them. I vaguely kind of remember how the story goes, but that's when it started.
Well, I can share for radio purposes.
Was it in the 70s?
Yeah, I'll share for radio purposes because we always have new people that listen, so... Back in 1964, blacks and other minorities won the right to not be discriminated at in stores, because back before then, stores could say no black people, no Mexicans, no Jews, whatever. And so in 1964, that was eliminated. And businesses were very upset that they had to serve everybody. Some went out of business because they would rather not have a business than serve a black person.
Mm.
So the one thing that they found between that, and there was another common denominator with the Vietnam War at the time and the hippie movement, they found that the youth who were considered un-American because they did not want to go to the Vietnam War, them and the minorities, they never wore shoes anywhere in the summer. It was common for them to, for the entire summer, they didn't put a shoe on for anything, except maybe church. And even that was debatable. So some business owners put two and two together, and they put a sign up that said no bare feet. And that was questioned.
So that was their way around it.
Sorry, I heard an echo there, so I just had to check. So I'm hearing myself again. So that wasn't, that was not really, businesses did not make money during this, and they received a lot of questions, and they had a lot of angry people, so they came back with the no shirt, no shoes, and then they put by order of your local health department. So a store could lie and say, I would serve you this ice cream cone, but you see that police car down the street? If he sees me selling you this ice cream cone, I'm the one that's going to jail. And people believed it because there was no research on that back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, they're trying to normalize masks this way.
Yes. So there's not one state that has such a law. We've written to all the states. So nobody has laws, but they'll tell you it's the law, and they'll fight to the death that it's a law, but it's not, and we have the evidence. And that's and that's where we're at. That's why we've become a counterculture, if you will.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah, and they're trying to normalize that with the masks, or they tried.
Right.
I think a lot of us, you know, even the people that were so big on it in 2020, some people have caught wise. Some.
Yeah, there's some that have an exit strategy, but some do not have an exit strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a little. I think they're a little fumbled. I mean, and I think a big part of it is that they thought, hey, this is going to be again. I mean, you can't really blame them. I mean, this was only supposed to be 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't this how it all started? Like this, or was that the we're closing the world for 2 weeks? I don't remember which one is which anymore. But
yeah,
whichever story they put out there, you know, people, you know, and that's why I think a lot of people were mad at you when they're like, hey, you got to do this for your grandma.
because they probably when they were saying this, I mean, I knew it was a bunch of crap from like I said, from day three when I was like, okay, I don't see nobody falling out of the sky or dropping down on the street, so I ain't buying it. Sorry, not me. And I quickly said, well, shit, how long is this going to go on for? 5 years? 2 years? Three? Five? I mean, we're three years in, and we aren't any further than we were from day one, which is pretty scary.
No, the only thing but further is that people got caught doing what they do. That's the only further that we have.
You know, but I think a lot of individuals, when they said this, they thought, hey, let's just do this for a really short time. You know, we got to save humanity and,
mm-hmm.
you know, get with the program, which, you know, reverses the ones who are against it. It's like, no, I'm not sure we're doing this for humanity, but okay, whatever. And here we go again. We're split. But I'm sure they never fathomed that here we are 3 years later still talking about masks. I mean, I know people that are, you know, especially out in California, they're like, oh, my God, how liberated they feel that they, you know, just recently finally, you know, have some peace of mind and can do stuff. I'm like, you were able to do that all along. Like, nobody stopped you from doing that other than, sure, maybe some things were shut down. That's a given.
And
but
just
no
think
one should
that
have ever
people
stopped.
Are so, people were so in panic that they couldn't get their McGMO without wearing a scam.
Yeah. A French fry might fall on your foot or your cheek. That's a good one. That's actually pretty rich.
You know.
Oh, I've had a bunch of stuff like that. I went to a UPS store once, and the guy told me, once again, I need to wear flip-flops in case I drop my purchase on my foot. I was buying stamps.
Yeah, hilarious. Those stamps might start to smell.
And I hope we have our annual challenge. I think this is the year 7 of at March 31st, April 1st, April 2nd, we're doing we always have a challenge that we do in the first, I should say the last weekend in March or early April. And it's just now that the weather is nicer, we try and get people to at least try it once. So we have the I Did It Barefoot Challenge, just to have everybody go to a random store and just do it so that you know what it's like. Because you don't want to be part of the group and not experience it at least once.
Mm.
And it gets people out of their comfort zone. And a lot of people actually want to do it. They just are afraid of getting yelled at. So this is the way that we've devised.
You know,
this.
We did that with masks back, you know, in the day when you absolutely, you know, a big group of us would go to Whole Foods. That's where we went. It was a big group of us and did that. I got to tell you, we went through a drive-thru at KFC, and this idiot wanted us to wear a mask in the drive-thru. Now, we never pulled this off. We never did this. But what I thought of is go through the drive-thru and have a big group. And every time we order something, you know, somebody from behind us is honking their horn, and then they get up, and the same thing. They won't leave until they get their order. It's just drive-thru. Drive-thru.
Yes, we did that once at a place called The Human Bean, who demanded here in Las Vegas. I think they were the only ones that demanded us wear a scam in the drive-thru. So I think we had 53 or 58 people that showed up. And then after like the 18th or 19th one, they just started serving us.
I mean, that sounds weird too, but what about all the people who had to do virtual and they were working at home and had to wear a mask? Like,
while being on unemployment, I had three jobs that demanded I wear a scam on a Zoom interview.
What?
I mean, that is insane.
Did they tell you why they would do that?
When they said that, I declined the interview, so I don't know.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in a few Zoom calls myself, and sure enough, there was always someone there in their home. You know,
wearing it, and I was like, aren't you at home?
No, good luck with that.
No, not, well, yeah. I mean, they tried enforcing that, too, out in Florida at some point, too. I recall in some county, like, yeah, you were going to mandate people who live in their home to have to wear a mask. I'm like,
yeah, that was,
yeah,
Miami,
are you going to check on me too, that, you know, my sex partner has a condom? I'm like, come on now, let's be for real.
Yeah, so if
nice
you
try.
Have a roommate or a someone else that lives with you and they were outside of the house within 72 hours, they demanded everybody to go scam.
Huh.
But I mean, this is
good luck.
I mean, this
that.
Was happening in other countries. I mean, the stuff that was happening in other countries, I mean, it doesn't seem real what some of those people had to experience. I mean, you know, you could, what was it? Like, you had to register who your one person was that you would have contact with. I mean, the absurdity just continued on and on. I mean, when you just thought you just heard it all, they come up with some other thing. Like, are you shitting me? Like, for real? You know, but, you know, that's...
Well, they had to push the limit to see what they can get away with.
Yeah, Europe, Canada, and, you know, and, I mean, we're still in the game. So, you know, a lot of people didn't fight. I seriously thought a lot of people were going to fight back. I thought, hands down, I mean, but, you know, then you couldn't protest. That became a big problem, you know.
You'd think.
You time when you could.
But see, you know what it is? They've been doing so many, like I said earlier, they've been doing so many subtle things, like, well, you have anxiety and depression, so you take all these meds for that. And, you know, it's been subtly going on for years. So what is a little scam on your face? You know, what's a little scam? It's just a little thing. Come on. You know, why are you being such a rebel? Just put it on.
Well, you have to wonder too. Well, not only with that, but with the jabber, you know. I mean, come on, $1 million lotteries and all these things for people to jump online to do something, or you know, to get people to, you know, to comply.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, really? Wow. Okay. You know, here, sign up. I'll give you $100.
Yeah.
You know, some people are mad. Dang, I didn't get nothing, you know. And, you know, people today, unfortunately, I mean, we can laugh about all of this, but the sad thing and the truth is that people are now becoming ill of it, you know. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, the heart attacks. And who's to say how much more damage will happen to these people? And the problem is they'll blame it on something else. No one's ever gonna say yes, sure. It's because you did that.
I saw on your page proof about that 17-year-old kid who died in his sleep after cardiac arrest. I mean, what 17-year-old has cardiac arrest? None. That's insane.
Yeah,
but by 2040 or 2050, they want zero population. They want most of us to fall for being put on a metaverse.
Well, you never know. By then, we'll be dead anyway. You know, we'll be old and crusty, and they can take us out. They can put us to sleep, but maybe Jesus will come back before then anyway. Who knows? But they may have their wish. It's just that they'll be gone, too.
You know, I find it very interesting. I don't know. I'm going to have to call this individual and see if he's got an article or something about it, because I found it really interesting. He was telling me something about that. I mean, obviously, we all know there's something inside the vaccine and that kind of stuff, but there's something that it does to you, and I kind of hate to talk about it because I really don't know much about it, so I'm just kind of winging it here. But the vaccine, or maybe even prior to all the other immunizations that we received, that it does something to the cortex or to the brain, or how it manifests in there, I don't really know. But it kind of like it blocks your thought of thinking. That's what he had told me. I'm like, wow, that one's out there. But you know,
it seems to affect people's memory. It does. Memory, my friend's mother is 71, and she has trouble now.
It's memory, but it was also just, you know, they lose something, you know, just like, you know, like we're, you know, people can be awoke and we're kind of like, we're tapped in what's going on. But he tried to explain it in the sense that once you take that, it makes you more compliant. I don't even know if there's a word.
Compliant.
It makes you more compliant. Yeah. It makes you more compliant. Like it's. And I said, well, that's pretty scary. Cause that's kind of like that whole zombie thing. Like, you know, you take it and you become a zombie.
Yeah.
And people had said this before, and like, and they talked about the chip actually doing this, and who not to say that those things that the people said, and, you know, you rub the thing, it's magnetic, there's something in there when you took the jab. So what if there is really something that's in there, and they're just waiting for that lovely day, you know, or switch, or maybe they have switched it on already, and your brain of thought doesn't allow you to think further than what you're being allowed, or what, you know, so you can't make your own thought, you know, you can't think of outside of yourself other than what this thing that's been put inside you.
And wait until ChatGPT takes over, then they'll write everything.
I'm sorry, what was that?
When ChatGPT comes into more prominence, we won't be writing anything. They'll do all the writing.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't put past anything that, you know, I kind of hear today. I have to take information that, you know, and be very open-minded no matter how, again, you know, twilight.
Yeah, even if it is crazy, like the things about the weather. That sounded crazy a year and a half ago. Now it's as normal as anything.
Yeah,
you know?
The weather. And there's people who, you know, it comes out today, but these people have been, you know, there's people have been talking about, again, like the chip and how it's going to do A, B, and C, and, you know. And then it sounds crazy, but then it comes down the pipeline, and it's like, okay, they weren't lying. And we're not talking 50 years. This is happening in a very fast pace. Like, it's hard to keep up, you know, because this is not, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
30 years ago,
maybe,
we would have laughed at all this, you know, just like
you
the space-age phone, you know. We would have let, you know, of course, this is like something from the Twilight Zone. I remember watching a Twilight Zone. It was the ones that came out in the 80s, and it was about the little boy, I forget the name of the episode, but basically it was about a little boy who was taking a test, and it was a government test. And, of course, you know, the parents, you could tell, were very on edge. And at the end of the Twilight Zone, they call the parents, and they're kind of expecting this call anyway, and they say, we regret to inform you, you know, something to the effect of your son has exceeded the intelligence. In other words, he's too smart. We can't have any smart people, so you need to come, you know, claim the body. And you see these people just sobbing, and that's where, you know, you'd think that's crazy, but not anymore. It isn't. It's zombie time, you know.
Yeah, and there's more. Well, I mean, there's always been movies of that, but you know, Hollyweird. You know, they come up with movies all the time, and it's just like, you know, and sometimes you know, not even expect what they promote the movie to be, and then it comes out to be something completely, I don't know, the opposite. It's kind of scary. I know there was a movie that I saw recently, and there was people who wanted, again, this utopia. So they go out to this community, but oh boy, if somebody, you know, kind of fell out of that circle, you know, they weren't in that utopia world because they were all being programmed. You know, they were in trouble. Quite a story. But they thought they were living in this utopia. Into this county, they were living this great life, great job, great food, just great everything, and it wasn't even reality. You know, they were just being so programmed. It's kind of crazy. And then you wake up, and then they just realize, you know. But again, you know, switcheroo, and you don't know where you are anymore. So
yeah,
we've got to keep on top of our reality, and you know, stay on target, and be awoke to what's around us, because there's a lot that's going on, and it's crazy because
some of the people who have control of it. They don't even hide it anymore. You know, it's like, yeah, nope. Yeah, we're doing that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we are. Ha, ha, ha. We've been doing it for years.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, power and money. You know. The roots of all evil, I guess, right? You know, but I don't know what they're going to do when they wipe everybody. When they wipe everybody out, I don't know. Like, do these massive elites really just want themselves to live and walk around on the earth system? Probably it does. But
see, maybe I'm just a little hopeful. I just don't think that the earth will allow 1,500 globalists to run 8 billion people.
No.
I just but think they that sure they're so greedy that they can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, but they're sure going to damn try.
Well, yeah. And look at Hollyweird. Look at all the celebrities that are just keeling over dead from this vaccine. And they're all, you know, these liberals that are just dying on us. They're killing off their own population. That's a scary, you know, not amusing, because really we shouldn't, you know, it says not to rejoice when our enemy stumbles, and they are stumbling. They are stumbling over themselves.
See, I have one exception. If George Soros ever kicks the bucket, then I might rejoice then.
Yeah, then God will raise him up again. No, I'm kidding, but honestly, you know, if we've got God on our side, and either way, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so he'll knock them out just like that. Justice is his, and he's going to take care of this. He is, one way or the other. It may not be how some people like it, but it's going to happen.
Yes, totally agree.
Well, we have just a few minutes left here, so I hope each of you enjoyed your three-hour stay here.
Absolutely. And it's been a pleasure meeting you, Bridget, as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping both
sure.
of you come back. Maybe this will be the new Tuesday format. I don't care.
There you go. If you
me.
Could just if you could mm-hmm. switch it to Thursday and put
yeah,
the Thursday on a
happen.
Tuesday, that would be even better.
Yeah, unfortunately that won't happen. The person that is on Thursdays is off work Thursday and Friday, and I'm only on Monday through Thursday. So.
Oh, gotcha. Good. Monday through Thursday?
Yeah, I'm on Monday through Thursday, yeah.
How about Monday nights?
Tuesday is the only opening that I have, actually.
Gotcha.
You want Thursdays, is that what I'm...
Well, I want... Tuesday night is normally when I have a Bible study, and I have a friend who normally kind of counts on me to be there, so I could do, like, maybe one or two Tuesdays out of the month, you know, but it's hit and miss. I committed to helping her.
Hey, I'll just do this format, Nicole. You just call in when you can.
Okay.
And then Bridget will be my my partner in crime here.
Okay, works out.
That sounds like a world plan for me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. And if another night opens up, just let me know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think our connection and communicating is pretty. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Works out for everyone. Everyone wins. Hallelujah.
It's a win-win-win situation.
Yes.
Yes. So, Bridget, do you still have a day job during the day? I don't remember.
No, not right now. That's okay. Probably not going to happen for quite some time. I'm recovering from my hip surgery right now.
Right.
I am, you know, slightly busy during the day just now because I'll be doing like PT and stuff, but. No, it's going to be a while.
And I have some guest ideas too. so I could, you know, message you with those too. I mentioned some of them the other day, but I just think they'd be great to have on your show too.
Okay. So, Bridget, I sent you a couple of, and I think I sent you one or two also, Nicole. I made some quick videos a few years back for Barefoot is Legal, and you could see some of the craziness that that has been mentioned.
Yeah, and I've done some I wouldn't call it research, but I have done some reading on it. You know, just like, you know, when you're telling people, you know, like with the driving with the sandals, like how much more and people technically do that, which is even more dangerous. Like that, you know, those things slip off. Like you might as well just take off the freaking flip flops and drive barefoot. I mean, I guess that's the reason why we use, you know, sandals or flip-flops or whatever they're called these days, because people like their feet bare.
Yeah, they're just afraid of getting in trouble. Or I've had people say it's gross, but I don't know how. To me, it's gross being in an accident. And they say, well, I won't get in an accident, but over 1.4 million accidents annually are caused worldwide by wearing improper shoes. And I'm sure those 1.4 million people every year were also saying it won't happen to me.
Hey, it's gross to have someone take off their shoes and have smelly socks. That's gross, too. So I guess gross is relative.
Bacterial fungus.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing. But, you know, it kind of just makes you kind of, you know, no different than like I mentioned earlier, where, you know, there's a receptionist or whoever the case is handing me this mask. Like, gross. Regardless of you sanitize, you put your gloves on, I don't care how you want to spin it. I'm not, you know, you're not making it any easier. Stop handing me crap. I don't even want it, you know. So if we're trying to, you know, minimize germs, that's not how we go about it. We just, you know, just like a tissue. If you have a tissue, do you pull out the tissue and you hand it to someone? No, that's not what we do. You know, you manually, you know, pass it on. You know, unless you're having it physically in your hand. But you know what I mean?
You just give them the box and let them take it out.
So you don't just like, here, let me take it out for you. You want me to sniffle your boogers too while I'm at it? Like, come on. it's just the stupidity. It's just, but again, it's just so like every day that must just, what the, you know, here, boom, 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 boom. And again, everybody accepts it, but I draw the line. Like, nope, sorry, ain't going to happen. But I was going to say, you know, we go to beaches. And, you know,
welcome to
the
Proof Negative
else.
Radio Show.
The outro music is going to play because we're under 60
well,
seconds.
It's been a pleasure, Proof, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, and thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Bridget, for being here. And
yes, have a good night.
Both of you are welcome back next week, and we'll
thanks
do
for
this
having
again.
Us.
Thank you for thanking me. Everyone else, please support me. The other shows on the network, it's not just the first negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and only you can be the worst liars. I am negative. I am